Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay. And this evening, we want to know, is forced child support legal in America? Is it legal? Is it lawful? We're going to deal with the following question. What makes child support legal in the U.S.? Why are men in the U.S. being jailed for non-payment of child support for children that don't belong to them? Is child support a scam in America? Is child support illegal? Should men sue the child support agency? Should men sue the city over child support? What is the solution to the child support scam? Now, we're going to deal with that. Now, my position, first of all, let me state my position, but before I do, let me say that we will be offering our articles this evening, the 14th Amendment Exposed, the Commerce Game, How to Play, and Secrets of America. Send me an email to Tahaka, send me those free articles to Tahaka53@hotmail.com. That's Tahaka53@hotmail.com, and we will rush that to you immediately, okay? We'll the MPDF in Word format, and that'll come as an attachment. Now, I'd like to make mention of our new website once again, where we have our new items to benefit the Moors here in the United States. How to get rid of that mortgage contract, how to get rid of them student loans and child support and all that, them contracts. How to eliminate and cancel all your contracts you got that's not beneficial to you. And the way you access that is go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. That's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. And once you get up in there, you can study that page there and click on any links that's up in there, and it'll take you directly over. We want to mention that anybody accessing the new items that we've placed there, all the way up until July, we will be giving you Tahaka's Archives to go along with that, okay? So keep that in mind when you go over there. We're going to be putting this information in the chat room, and I am looking for some audience participation out there. So if you all got child support and stuff, I'd like to know what's going on with it. You know, how they doing it. I mean, I know they're robbing folks, but I need to hear your side of the story. What's going on? How I get like that? And but my position is that every man that brings a child into the world should take care of that child, or should do something for that child. The most important thing a man can do to that child is visit that child and be a part of that child's life. That's very important to a child. But to support that child, you want to make sure that the child has everything that you could possibly give the child that's beneficial. So that's my position, number one. Now, as far as the third-party contracts, another man coming in to have some say-so over a child you brought in the world, and I got a problem with that. I have a problem with that. And I know sisters and brothers have various situations going on, and the brother, he won't do this and he won't do that according to the sister, and brother say the sister won't do this and won't do that, so I'm not going to invest any time in it. But we got the child to consider. And it's very important that we never lose sight of that. You know, regardless of what kind of differences you and the mother have, or you and the husband have, or you and the boyfriend, or whatever have, you have to stay focused on the child. The benefit of the child is very, very important. But when you deal with third-party contracts and you sign up and let somebody else get up in your business and they want to say, well, we got you doing this, that, and the other, and we're going to deal with that tonight, that's not going to work out so good. So I'm going to be looking for audience participating, and y'all can raise your hand and let me know what's going on with that thing. And we do have some things that you can use to deal with that situation. Very, very effective materials that you can use. And once again, that's right there in newfreehelpgroup.com. Okay. Now, the first thing I want to look at is a very interesting situation here that I found. And I wanted to let you all check this out because I thought it was quite extraordinary. And so I'm gonna run these two little things. I didn't know stuff like this was going on inside the United States, but nevertheless, according to these people here, it is. So the first one we're gonna look at is this man that they came after him for child support, and it was like, to me, like a witch hunt. I mean, they had it. The man, he agreed to pay some money, but then they want to bury the man. And now the man can't pay him nothing. And then it seemed to me they're just trying to cut off his life. But before we get into that, we're going to deal with one little quick situation here, and then we come back then. Now, the lines will be open immediately, okay?
Plaintiff Paula Monroe says when she started dating the defendant, she was 26, and he was only 17. Paula has a 7-year-old son with the defendant, and she claims after he was born, the defendant became physically abusive, and then he cheated on her with his witness. She's suing her ex for unpaid child support. Defendant Kamal McCallum says while he was with Paula, she cheated on him numerous times, and that's why he petitioned the court for a paternity test today. Kamal claims Paula is so low that she even had his son call him and say that another man was his father, so he's countersuing for harassment.
No, you don't think it's your son?
No, Your Honor, I'm not saying he's not my son.
You've never taken one?
I've never taken one, okay. But I always told her, and I always...
How old is the child now?
He's seven.
He signed a birth certificate.
He's seven. I signed
a
birth certificate.
He named my child.
And I'm not, Your Honor, there's no way, Your Honor, I'm not saying this is not my child. But after a grown woman puts my 7-year-old son on the phone and tells...
Has him tell me
that another man is his father... Your Honor.
Ma'am, did you do that?
Yes, I did.
Your Honor,
yes,
I don't care how much malice there is, Your Honor, I can't. She had my 7-year-old.
Why would you do that?
He's a deadbeat.
Big tattoo on my 7-year-old.
He's a deadbeat.
Your Honor, that's the game she plays, Your Honor.
My son, this man does not acknowledge my son whatsoever.
Did you believe that? Did you believe he was not the father?
He doesn't act like a father.
Hold it, but you had your son mention another man?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
7 years old, Your Honor.
That's terrible, man. Now you want to sue the man for child support.
I understand I owe the child support, but I never said that this kid wasn't. I've taken care of my son since day one. Is this before or after we just came back from North Carolina? I showed him my grandmother, got him to know all his familiar faces, all the older folks down south. So she acts like I do nothing for my son. And I just want to let you know, like, this is a classic example of how a lot of men get brought right into the system and owe on paper. But the system don't be on the streets with this one. The system does not be on the streets with this one. They don't know what I go through. Like, I can't even get a job, Your Honor. I've been out of prison for a whole year. I have had one job.
Trying to get a job.
All of a sudden, mysteriously, they get a call saying there's a convicted felon I don't know who.
You didn't do that.
I don't know who did it, Your Honor.
Call his job.
I don't know. All of a sudden, they send me an email.
I didn't know if he had a job, because if he had a job, this should have been minus.
So you didn't call his job.
This should be minus if he had a job.
She went to the DOI. law, after I talked to my son one day, I told my son, I worked doing security on the weekends. I told my son one day, I said, I got to go to work. He relayed that to her, man. I got them child support papers within a week. They knew I already had a job.
And she's supposed to do that. Yeah.
I've been arrested bringing her sneakers for my son. School just started 2 weeks, 2 months ago. Okay, she brought him 4 or 5 pair of pants, 3 or 4 pairs of shirts. That's cool. I got him 3 pairs of sneakers, you know, to get him started for school. I got a big tattoo on my right arm that says, my son is my world.
How much did you spend for those sneakers?
Still about 60 bucks, 50, 55 bucks.
That's $180,
yeah,
right?
About $180.
How much is your child support order?
$90 a week. With no job.
$360 a month?
Yes.
All right. So you spent half of what should have gone to the child support on sneakers, and you won't even get credit for it.
You're right, Your Honor.
Why do you do that?
Your Honor, like I said, the DOR is not in the streets.
Men need to know that if they give the money or buy material items and give it directly to the mother or directly to the child, they don't get credit for it when it comes to child support agency or court. You have to do as you were ordered. Pay $360 a month. This little, I'm going to buy you this, I'm going to buy you that, son, because I don't want to give it to mama because mama's going to blow the money. You tell the judge that.
Your Honor, I did put in for a modification.
With a wig
like
on.
Her, she's very intimidating.
All the time.
She's
all the time.
Every day.
It's not your business.
Every day. Every day.
Yes, you
Let's
do.
Let's get to the child support, ma'am.
Verbally,
no, I don't.
You have verbally talked about my son? Yes, you have. It's
That's
none of your
true,
business
your
about my
That's
son.
That's
none of
your
truth. You don't even take care of my
Let's
son.
Let's get to the amount of child support you're suing for, ma'am. What months has he failed to pay?
He has failed to pay for a whole year, Your Honor. He's back $4,579.
Do you have a statement?
Yes, I do. I have original order, I have modification.
Sir, I went for, this is how the system works, Your Honor. I went in for a modification.
Please inform me.
Okay,
you went for a modification.
Your Honor, I went in for a modification.
Mm-hmm.
I says, basically, in my complaint, I said, I haven't found a job yet. I need a modification. It's not my fault. I just now got a court date.
Okay.
I haven't even been in front of a judge to explain, to tell them that. And
gotcha.
I put this modification in back in April.
Well, sir, unfortunately, until you go before the judge, you still owe. And you still owe the exact amount in which you were ordered to pay. Your counterclaim for $5,000 for harassment is for what?
Your Honor, it's just the constant, the threats every day to me, to my girlfriend. She sit out. We just moved because she lived on the first floor. She sat out there, like she said, for 20, 30
what type
minutes.
Of threats? Give me some.
I'm gonna kill you. Don't let me see you out on the street.
Why?
You or your girlfriend? Because she hates me, Your Honor.
How often has she done that?
This is every day. I have a recording, Your Honor, saying how she's gonna kill her and do all type of things.
Let me hear it.
All right.
My son don't need you. He don't need to be around you. He don't need to be around that
It's an everyday thing, Your Honor.
Without keeping her. I'm going to put my hand in that I'm going to need dry blood transfusion.
Your Honor, this is an everyday,
you gonna draw
constantly
so much blood from
thing.
The woman, she's going to need a blood transfusion.
Your Honor, this is an everyday, Your Honor. Your Honor, in front of my son, in front of, she'll do it in front of you, Your Honor. If I was you, I'd have Doyle get
Your Honor,
you,
this
because she might.
Your Honor,
yeah, you need to get
Your
Doyle
Honor,
right here, Your Honor.
Refuse
Your Honor,
cause,
Your Honor,
she's
Your
a real
Honor,
wild.
Your Honor, this man
yes,
has brought
ma'am.
Me in front of my son. I'm at a bar with my coworkers. This man has came in a bar, snatched my pocketbook, so I had to go outside. He has my son in the car. It's 12 o'clock at night. He's fighting me. Two of my coworkers. The only reason why he left was because one of my coworkers had a knife. I flashed his
tire. Anyone have any police report?
I do. I got a police report. We're fighting her.
Do you,
I got a lot
sir?
Of police. I got
Your
a
Honor, she
charges.
Has a police report about her fighting her, seeing my car.
How about harassing you? You have to prove that she has harassed you.
Police reports. I have letters from jail from him saying, I love you. We need to work this out from last year.
He didn't deny that.
Your Honor, this
now, pardon?
Sorry. But I'll say, Your Honor, if he feels as though, he just wants to get out paying a child support agreement. That's all he wants to get out.
Well, why did you tell the man it wasn't his? You're going to have your son call this man, telling him someone else is his daddy. Thank goodness there was a DNA test. We're going to find out today. We're going to find out today.
Today.
Whether you signed that birth certificate erroneously, voluntarily decided you were going to assume, or whether indeed it is your child. Probability of paternity is zero.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Your Honor, she's been harassing me since 2005, Your Honor, for something that ain't even mine. I got a big tattoo on my arm that says my son is my world, and it ain't even my kid. That's all he knows is me. All he knows is me.
Well, this is what I would suggest, sir. This is terrible, ma'am. This is a terrible, terrible, terrible. But, you know, this happens. Stand-up men, a lot of times they don't feel they need proof. They feel that they're in a exclusive, monogamous relationship with their mate, so they go ahead and sign the paternity papers, and this sounds like that's what happened. He didn't say, well, I don't know, so I'm going to take a test. He has gone 7 years, has provided gifts for the child, has paid child support, has done everything to be a father. My advice is that you continue being a father figure for the young man so that he isn't hurt by this with regard to you. However, you should sue her for every dime you've ever paid in child support. Ma'am,
all the threats and the
go check lashes. With that man.
I know who the father is, Your Honor.
Now you got another man. Who
no,
is this?
The guy that he's been saying is correct. I just can't
harassing
accuse him.
Your Honor, every day. Locked me up over 6 times, Your Honor.
Hey, now y'all can be happy together. You can pick her up after
things,
she pays.
Your claim is dismissed, ma'am.
Thank you.
$5,000.
You can pick her up when
it's
she
all
faints.
Right, though.
Look, Paula, you're
whatever,
a trip. You're
whatever.
A fat trip. You're
whatever.
A fat trip. Take your wig off, man. You bump mama.
This is mommy.
Take your wig off.
Mommy.
This is real.
Right.
Okay, Moles, we back. That was kind of rough. If anybody got you got any questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand and let me know what's going on with this kind of stuff. Oh, man, I got to get outside more often. whew, man, unbelievable. Well, let's look at this other situation now where a man has been put in jail for child support. And the child is not his. Let's check that out. See what's wrong with that.
A man by the name of Frank Hatley has been in jail in South Georgia for the past year because he hasn't been paying child support, right? Well, it turns out that the boy that he's not paying child support to isn't even his own biological son. And prosecutors knew that before throwing him in jail.
So when did his girlfriend get pregnant?
His girlfriend got pregnant in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He thought it was his son, so he was paying child support, everything, right? And then in the year 2000, they had a DNA test which indicated that the boy was not his. So what they ended up doing is they had him pay child support anyway. So he was still paying child support. At what point, he lost his job and he became homeless. And he couldn't even pay child support. Like, he couldn't even pay for a place to live or food to eat. But he still tried to make child support payments from his unemployment checks.
Now, that's after he already found out it's not even his kid?
Yes, this is after he found out it's not his kid. How unbelievable is this story? They still made him pay this child support. And then finally, he just couldn't do it anymore. He had no money. He was out on the streets. And they're like, you know what? You're not paying, so we're going to throw you in jail. He's been in jail for the past year.
Past year. Now, when we do these stories of people who are in jail in America, like, it's just, you know, you do some guys who are not in jail, and you can't believe why they're not in jail. And then you do stories of some people that are in jail, and you're like, what the hell are we doing? Why are we putting people like this in jail? I mean, imagine for a second. You have sex with this lady, right? And she says, oh, yeah, this is your, oh, I got pregnant from you. It turns out the whore had slept with someone else, okay, and gotten pregnant by them. She lied to you for all of these years. And you pay child support for a kid who wasn't yours all those years, even though you broke up with a girl so long ago. You're not even with her anymore. She's not your wife. She's not anything, right? And then you find out the kid isn't yours, and you continue to make payments, but since you didn't make enough payments, they arrest you and put you in jail.
By the way, James,
My mind can't comprehend the injustice of that.
As if the first DNA test wasn't enough, they had another DNA test done recently to prove, finally, again, that this is not his child. But he's still in jail. I mean, he's waiting for a court date so they can relieve him of his duties to pay this child support, because he's still required to pay $250
now,
a month.
Now, I'm going to say something that you think is not going to be logically connected, but let me explain, okay? This is why I'm against the death penalty. Okay, so you say, what the hell does that have to do with this? Here's why. Because look at the son of a bitch prosecutor and judge in this case. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm that prosecutor, no way I bring that case. He knows. He knows he's not the dad. He knows the guy is homeless. He knows that he already made thousands of dollars in payments and did the best he could. And he puts that guy in jail. The judge listens to the case and goes, oh, yeah, right. Send his ass to jail. Now, you tell me those guys wouldn't hang someone on a shred of evidence, okay? Now, I know I'm stretching it, but there's no way in the world I would trust them with someone's life or death. And there are prosecutors and judges like that throughout the country. So we can make some mistakes, but we can't make the ultimate mistake with somebody's life when you got prosecutors and judges like this running around. And with human beings, what they are, you always have these kind of vindictive assholes. So, no.
Okay. I didn't know all that was in there. Anyway, Moores, now, if there's any sisters out there that's listening to this broadcast, if you have something to say about the child support situation, go ahead and raise your hand. I want to hear what you got to say, and let me know what's on your mind. I would really love to hear from the sisters, but brothers, if y'all want to start speaking first, go ahead and raise your hand and let me know what you think about this situation inside the United States. Because that's quite extraordinary when the court system knows you're not the biological father, knows that you paid child support, and still lock you up for child support payments. It's as if it has nothing to do with the child. It has everything to do with we need some money. We already had you in the books. You need to pay us this money. We know the child is not yours for a fact. We've had two tests done. We know that. But, yeah, you are still in jail waiting until we decide that we want to sort through this thing and determine whether or not you could be relieved of the situation.
Hello and welcome to In the News. Brought to you with raw and uncut commentary by none other than your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor.
What's going on, everyone? It's your boy, Tommy Sotomayor, coming at you live from the beautiful beaches of Miami. Now, as you can probably see, I feel like Tupac right now because of the white background, the white light. You know what? Niggas can't see. That's okay. I look like an ink spot talking to you live here on YouTube. But I got to get the news out because the news won't stop just because I'm on vacation. So we're going to work on getting some lighting done here. And then we're going to get you guys some of the special news. But here's some news that was sent to me. And my daughter's still trying to teach me how to use this thingy, this iPad. So we're going to go through this. And there was an article that was sent to me by a Mr. Linus. I'm going to assume it was a Linus. The Twitter handle is at NC007Cool. And it stated, man pays child support after child is dead for over 25 years. And what I'm going to do is show you this report. Then I'm going to give you my opinion on it. And again, don't try to adjust your set. A nigga got on a black shirt, black skin with a white background, and the beach is in the back. So enjoy the beach and just pay attention to the words. We'll work on the lighting later.
Father is still paying child support for this little boy, his son, who died 25 years ago. Tonight, 7 is taking action for him, asking the question, why?
Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us on this Friday evening. 7 Action News reporter Kimberly Craig has been trying to get to the bottom of this confusing case.
She's live in our newsroom right now, and Kim, we understand officials at the Friend of the Court admit there was a big mistake.
They sure do, Carol, and they blame it on human error, and they call it regretful, but they say they are low on staff, and the caseload is high.
It took a lot out of me.
Lionel Campbell lost his youngest son, Michael, to acute meningitis. He and the woman with whom he also had an older son split up. But the problem now is Campbell just realized in 2011 he was still paying child support for Michael, who sadly only lived to be just 3 years old and died in 1988.
When I went there, the clerk said, "You're right. You shouldn't be paying no money at all."
A spokesman for Friend of the Court says no one ever told them Michael had died. And all these years, Campbell thought the money he was paying was back support for a son who was 7 years older than Michael. But he was told no.
Every time I ask, I say, they say it's just Michael all the time.
Campbell, who now lives in Kentucky, came back to Detroit to Friend of the Court to begin asking questions because after mistakenly paying for two kids for so long, Campbell cannot understand how he still owes anything, so he asked for an audit, and he gets a different amount still owed each time, from nearly $43,000 to $33,000 and then $19,000. Campbell says even some Friend of the Court clerks were baffled.
The lady said, "You're right. How are you still be paying on a child that's been dead almost 23 years?" I said, "I don't know."
At the end of his rope, Campbell called Action News. We contacted court officials who said they would look into his case for us and came back and admitted there were some errors in their calculations, so they expedited another audit. Now they say Campbell owes about $6,000.
And a lady down there told me, she said, "Ain't no way you're supposed to be paying child support for a dead child." And I said, "Well, that's what they got me doing."
Campbell's case is complicated by gaps in his employment and surcharges on arrearages that were once likened to loan sharking.
The policy of the surcharges was so that there'd be a deterrent to not getting, you know, behind in your child support. It was kind of a punishment, if you will.
Attorney Barry Fain specializes in family law, and he says anyone with child support issues should take care of them quickly, or it could become
a major mess. And, you know, intercepting of income tax refunds, having your driver's license taken away, your occupational license taken away, not being able to travel to a foreign country because your passport is blocked.
And officials for Friend of the Court believe the errors and calculations in this case are isolated and not systemic. And, of course, Lionel Campbell says he is going to be seeking another audit. And we should also point out that we did want to talk to Michael's mother, the child's mother, in all of this, but she refused to comment on this story. Back to you.
All right, Kim. Now, what about Friend of the Court? Are they saying why three audits have resulted in three different amounts for this man?
And that's the perplexing thing. It's like if there should just be one right answer, but they say there's really no clear answer as to why they've had multiple amounts given. But, of course, you know, we may find out when that fourth audit is done. Back to you.
Well, sounds like a big mess. Thank you so much, Kim, for getting to the bottom of it.
As you saw, this Michigan man, Mr. Lionel Campbell, his son, Michael, passed away in 1988 at the age of three. But because of a mistake that has been made by the Wayne County Records Court, he's been paying thousands of dollars, and they say he's behind thousands of dollars. Now, this, again, this is my wheelhouse. Y'all know how I feel about child support. I'm one of those people who always champion against it, because if once you see something from its unfair side, then what you want to do at that point is make sure that the other people see it from its unfair side too. And it is one of the most egregious things you could ever do to a human being. Child support is the stupidest thing possible. Not paying it is stupid, but the laws and penalties that come along with it. When you can foreclose on a home that's $300,000, and they don't stop you from traveling overseas, they don't take your license, when you have a credit score of 400, and they don't do anything to you other than make it hard for you to get more damn credit, which makes sense. When you can be a woman, and you can keep being on the state, and allow the state to pay for your kids, whenever you have a shortfall, they help you. Whenever a man has a shortfall, they don't care. And then when they figure out they've made a mistake, what do? Nothing. See, this is the problem with the United States system of child support. It is all slated for the woman and nothing for the man. I had a guy on my show, and I don't know if you guys remember. The guy had five children, stayed married to a woman. The kids had grown up. One of them needed a kidney transplant. He went to go see if he was a match. Come to find out that at that point, three of the five kids were not his. He couldn't get any of his child support money back, nothing. There's no real thing such as paternity fraud. You should be subject to everything you subjected that man to. You should be subject to jail. You should be. It doesn't make any sense. Even what happened with Brian Bank, that woman, it's found out that she lied, collected $1.5 million from the state. This man lost 6 years of his life. What happened to her? Not a damn thing. We cannot keep allowing something like this to happen, people. I don't care what you think. If we allow something like
okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Area code 832. What's on your mind?
Islam, Brother Tahaka.
Islam. Let me have it.
I'm sitting here listening to the brother myself, you know. I'm in the same situation. When I came home from my sick day vacation, you know, they hit me with the same thing. I come to find out while I was gone, there's no conjugal visits in the state of Texas. There's not. But when I come home, they have it to where the, what he called himself, the general attorney, the man, he tell me, I got 5 children. When I left my wife, she only had 3. You know, 3 that I married into and 1 that I gave her, come to find out. The 1 that I gave her was fraud. It wasn't even mine. But they still want me to pay on this right now. I'm telling them my blood is by right. They got the DNA. They went and done the DNA testing and everything. And by right, it ain't supposed to be mine. But they just passed the bill down here in Texas to where if you didn't meet the deadline, I said, well, then if that's the case, when my lawyer came here for the divorce, he said, don't worry about that. So I was instructed and given poor counsel on the matter. And you know the matter at hand is that you're wrong. Y'all robbing me. This is not law. This is in lieu. Because when you sign them papers, on top of those papers, they have in lieu, not in law.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that means that there's something similar.
Yeah, that brother lost his child, and he was staying on a dead child.
Well, it's real, real simple. The way I see it, okay, if you been paying on a dead child all these years, if you're making these kind of errors and this man is paying us some money, and we all know that this violation is taking place, I don't understand why the brother keeps doing getting all these different audits instead of outright suing them out of existence. That's the first thing I would have did.
You know, just like me, you know, like I just got only 11 months inside of the Moorish Nation and the teachings of our honorable beloved prophet, Noble Drew Ali, through the guide of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, a lot of us brothers don't have the teachings and the guides that we need. And then when the brothers do approach them, it's foreign to them. Because they don't recognize who they are and what they have and what they are part of. It's foreign in their sight. And when a lot of brothers run from it, oh, that's some brothers with them funny hats and things hanging from the sides of their head. Ain't they Mason? They going to get me locked up with all that hootenanny. You know, just recognize who you are in a situation you have yourself lodged in along with your family.
Yeah.
Brother need to get himself up under trust and recognize what the nationality is all about. Because right now they got me to the point to where they recognize that they're my children, and they know that I'm a Moor, and they come from the Moorish bloodline, and being that the bloodline comes from the father and not the mother, even though the mother is the creator, you know, the bloodline for all times comes from the father, the lineage. It comes from the goings of the father. They tell me that I must pay, I have to pay, even though they come to find out the daughter is not mine. Down here, there's a thing with family law. After 3 years, the child knowing you as father, you are father, paternally or paternally. How you do, love?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, are you gathering evidence where they're clearly saying that you are the father, and even though you have proof that you're not, go ahead and fashion up an affidavit. And go ahead and find out all the parties involved, so each one of them individually, and about the situation. And they're gonna try to fight, but just go ahead and move it all the way up. But make sure that you attach the media to it to blow all the doughs off the whole city about it.
Oh man, they done like a call in, and they put it on the news probably like about a good this one I found out they passed the bill. I think they call it Bill 75 or Bill 57. When they pass the bill, they put it on TV. Well, if your old child support and your oldest and you don't think your child is yours, y'all go ahead on and come down here and check us. We could probably try to get this clear up for you or get it dismissed or thrown out for you. A lot of people that went down there to go get things straight, they locked them up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people. There was a set date trap.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they do it. They got all kind of ways they do that. They I've seen them do that over and over and over. But they call people down and make them think they've won something and get a whole auditorium full of them, and then police jump out and lock them all up. And but you know, you only need 12 or more people to file a class action lawsuit. But you always want to include the television, radio, and magazines and newspaper industries on top of the situation, and make sure that the names of the individuals that are pulling these fraudulent scams and participating in this conspiracy is exposed. You got a lot of people that's running for public office that will no longer be able to continue to run for public office once they are exposed. Brother, I'm going to take a little quick break. I appreciate you calling in, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, Morris. We'll be right back in a second, okay?
Okay, Morris. The most powerful system for total elimination of your mortgage on the globe. It stands to reason that if the United States filed bankruptcy in 1933, taking all the real money out of circulation, that our signatures on contracts and stuff is the only thing that's left. Now, we have a system that's set up to totally get rid of that mortgage contract. And if you got student loan debt, if you got your child support, then we got all contract eliminator as well. And what we're doing here now for those people who are accessing either one of these new packages that's located at newfreehelpgroup.com, we are adding Talkers Archives to it, absolutely at no charge to you. So get over to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Okay? Peace, Mose.
Okay. Let's move forward and see what we're dealing with now. Raise your hand if you got questions or comments, and I'll go ahead and open up the line, okay? All right. August the 16th through the 18th, right here in Jacksonville, Florida, the Moorish Summit 2 will be held right here in the Wyndham Hotel.
Okay, I understand that you were involved or had a situation involving the collection of child support from yourself. Can you tell me about this?
Okay, well, it'd be about 4 or 5 years ago. I was actually working at a decent job. I was working at one of the call centers in our town. I was making about $20,000-$25,000 a year. My ex-girlfriend, mother of my daughter, her boyfriend pushed her into contacting Ontario Works and trying to nab me for extra child support. I didn't really have a problem with paying the child support as long as it's set to a reasonable level and I still have something to live on. But I got a commission check for 1 month. And the worker that had been assigned from Ontario Works to look over this case took it that commission check would be added every single week, almost doubling my income, and brought me down to the courthouse about 6 times over the course of the next few months, trying to get the child support raised up to a $50,000 a month income or a year income. I've been locked into the courthouse now at that $25,000 a year income, even though by going to court all that time, I lost the job, and now I'm making about $300 a month with child support payments of $700 a month. So it's been locked into the courts, and despite my best efforts, I haven't been able to get it changed. Although they said that there's a two-year review on that process, I've been informed point blank by the lady in charge of Ontario Works that that would only be in a case where they will make money on the deal. If the amounts will drop, they don't bother.
Are you in arrears at the present time?
Right now I'm about $10,000 in the hole.
Has there been any attempt to take away your driver's license or your passport?
Considering I don't have either, it's going to be difficult.
Have you ever had any threats or anything like that from any of the government agencies?
Well, the worker that I contacted at Ontario Works told me flat out that I'd better make sure I get myself a couple of good jobs because she's locked it into the courts and that's what I have to pay.
In your dealings with Ontario Works, did you ever get the sense that they truly wanted to find the correct amount of child support, or did you ever get the sense that they just wanted to go for whatever they could get?
Primarily, she just wanted to go for whatever she could get her hands on. I'm not trying to name names here, but I guess I have to. It was Peggy Jo McKenzie, and she's the one that dragged me down to the courthouse six times trying to prove to the courts, despite my pay stubs, that I was making 10 times my amount. And in the end, it worked out exactly the way I thought it would. I had a $22,000 income that year. My child support was set at about $1,000 a month. And I lost the job that would have given me that. Now I'm on Ontario Works myself, and despite all of my requests for review of that decision, I've been told that it stands unless I make more money.
In your opinion, had you not been forced into court by Ontario Works, do you feel that today you would not be Ontario Works yourself and maybe be gainfully employed?
Oh, definitely. I had that job for almost 3 years. And they washed me out for failure to show from court dates.
What do you have any comments that you'd like to make about the Family Responsibility Office?
Very inhumane. They don't really care about your condition, your situation, your circumstance. They just want their cash, and it's not helpful. They're not really, I'm trying to think of a good way to put this, but they're less than helpful. They don't live up to the promises that they've been making.
Since the Ontario Works people started to push you to try to get you to pay more child support, to get more money from you, at the end of this process, are they getting more money out of you or less money out of you?
Well, now they're getting less money because I've lost the job that was going to support the amount that they originally requested. I'd asked them to do it based off of my taxes. At the end of each year, I file a tax form. They can take that information, use it to readjust my child support levels so that they'd actually be accurate. They opted not to do that and instead locked it in at the $25,000 I made in Sutherland. And it's just been sitting in arrears since I lost that job because I just don't have that much money to put out. I get $300 a month from Ontario Works. I owe $700 a month in child support. I can't figure out how those two are ever going to meet. So as it stands right now, about $10,000 to $12,000 in the hole, thanks to that wonderful little arrangement. with no out and guarantee I have to pay it.
Okay, Moses, we back. Now, this is interesting. Make sure I understand this. You got a man that's trying to work with you to pay child support, but you going to set a permanent yoke upon the man's neck for more money than he can possibly pay, and you going to drag him in the coat week after week and month after month after month for the same thing until he loses the job where he could have paid you something. And then you're going to leave the deficit hanging over his head. To me, I have to regard that as attempted murder. Area code 904. Are you there? Okay. Now, is anybody out there that think this crooked? Go ahead and raise your hand.
...of the children and families. It's a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce to you Ms. Carol Rhodes.
Thank you. My purpose today is not to dazzle you with my oratorical brilliance and skills. I merely want to say that I came to the 37th Circuit Family Court to make a difference. I was well qualified and hoped to be able to help Michigan families of divorce and separation, but early on I realized that the system was not designed to be child-friendly. No friendship nor honest conciliation were ever allowed in the family justice system between caseworkers and clients. It was all about money. How to get the federal and state tax dollars that were allotted each case for enforcement. In fact, our director would say regularly, we aren't the friend of the family, we're the friend of the court. We stumbled over ourselves trying to get more Title IV-D cases on our records and to increase the child support orders because the federal government granted huge allotments for each case we enforced. In the years I worked in the system, I witnessed regular deception to clients that was mandated by office policy. I saw gender bias and discrimination. I saw records destroyed. I saw office policies and rules change from week to week for the profit of the agency. I saw hundreds of pleas for parenting time or enforcement get buried because there is no money in enforcing custody or visitation issues. Increasing the child support money that came into our offices was the goal for each of us. We were rated according to how much money we brought in through asset seizures, income garnishment, court hearings, warrant issue. We wrote the orders and then we enforced them. The judge merely rubber stamped our efforts. My director proudly told me that the Child Support Enforcement Agency was the darling of the circuit court and that we actually made money for the judge and the court. Unlike the sheriff's department and so many others, our county or state was not an exception to the rule. We were one of the most successful counties, and we shared training with other counties and states so they could learn how to maximize their efforts toward increased collection. We were not only told to withhold information, forms, policies, laws, and statutes from our clients with questions, but we were forbidden to help them obtain legal relief from unfair situations beyond their control. We were instructed to quickly help those who were demanding increases in child support, but we were threatened with losing our jobs if we should breathe a word to encourage an injured or unemployed payer to petition for a reduction of any kind. For the years that I worked in the system, I put my job on the line whenever I helped any of the parties in trouble. We were not to get personally involved. Children or parents, we had nothing to do with that. I was derisively accused of wasting my time being a social worker. We worked closely with Child Protective Services and Family Independence Agencies, and they were the same way. No one wanted to improve services or hear about abuses within the system because every worker in these huge bureaucracies was trying to keep his or her job by covering up any errors or problems. I had six secretaries underneath me, unlimited power in my 401k and my office to lose if I should rock the boat. But rock the boat I did when I wrote the book, Friend of the Court, Enemy of the Family. Families that were bleeding from the pain of divorce and separation were insulted, tricked, lied to, and deceived by persons without adequate training to be making those kind of judgment calls. Most of the custody determinations were made by unwed, childless individuals who were totally unqualified to hold the lives of so many in their hands. The determinations were made on the basis of the most child support that could be ordered for each case.
Yeah.
Fathers or non-custodial parents were stereotyped as payers only. The court and most caseworkers felt that fathers were unnecessary and possibly dangerous for the children to have contact with. The child support system is an adversarial system. It encourages parental alienation and court battles. Children are pawns in an expensive and elaborate game of winner versus loser. Attorneys coming into the picture further divide the already fractured family and insulate the parents from communicating with each other. Usually after attorneys and agencies become involved, new and creative charges of abuse, neglect, and addiction enter the picture. Many times these are convenient charges against innocent family members guilty of no parents even after the partner left. I heard many unwed fathers tell me that they begged the mothers of their children to marry them, but that the mothers were unwilling to give up the welfare check in exchange for a husband and father in the home. The most outdated picture of the father leaving the mom and kids to run off with his secretary is all but a thing of the past. In Southwest Michigan, 98% of the divorces are initiated by mothers and unwanted by the father. These aren't abusive fathers either. Equal parenting is not a men's issue. I was a single mother for most of my children's lives, and I know what children need most is a love and balance two fit parents can give them. Money can never make up for the loss of a parent. Divorce or separation should not be the reason some kids will never get to know one important part of themselves. Equal parenting does not do away with child support. Child support takes on a whole new dimension for children with two loving parents instead of just one. I am humble as I stand in the shadows of one of our greatest founding fathers. Here in this place, another great father, Martin Luther King, announced to the world that he had a dream. Well, Mahatma Gandhi told us that we must be the change that we want to see in the world. Are you willing to be that kind of change? Thomas Jefferson said that we only have the rights we're willing to fight for. Our Constitution gives all the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But for some children, the right to have two loving and involved parents in their lives has been usurped by the courts. Courts rule according to precedent, and the precedent has been biased against one parent in the past, branding him or her the non-custodial parent, which in itself is an insult. Equal parenting by two fit and willing parents is what our courts and agencies must go back to believing in. Laws and fiscal policies must not facilitate conflict and adversarial relationships between parents. It's only a matter of time before the civil rights of families will be restored in the courtrooms of our nation. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol, very much.
All right.
We've got a little bit more time.
Eric Olds, 904.
Hello, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm just fine, brother. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment?
Okay, my name is Don Morgan. I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, Don, what's on your mind?
Man, I'm going through a lot of this. I prior military, retired from the Navy. Have two kids by my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. I was making between $60,000 and $70,000 at one time when I was in the Navy. I got out, retired from the Navy. When I was in the Navy, they told me I need to pay $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, for child support and alimony.
Okay.
Retired from the military, I got a good job over here on the base. They told me you need to start paying instead of the $1,000 for the child support, pay $550. And also the $1,000 for alimony.
Uh-huh.
And
this is what the Navy also told them.
That was the judges, the Duval County Courthouse. And then all on top of that, she gets 39% of my retirement, $758 on top of all of that. So So okay. I remarried, trying to get ahead. Now I'm unemployed. I've been back and forth to the court 9 times. I'm being harassed by the lawyer, the judge, and my ex-wife. They don't seem to care about me not having a job. And, put in an application, my resume, to get a job. And they just don't care, and I don't know what else to do. I can't afford a lawyer. Haven't seen my kid in 4 years. They don't really care about that. I have to report every Friday all my job searches to the court.
Okay.
It's just humiliating. It's just unfair, not right.
Well, let me ask you this. Has the court, since you are unemployed and you're no longer in the Navy, has the court been willing to reduce the amount of money that you were paying when you had the ability to pay it? Are they willing to do that?
I don't think so. I've put in at least 5 modifications. The judge said, I go there every month in front of the judge. And then also I have to go every week to report my job searches, and he want me to pay her lawyer as well, $3,500. And I said, I can't afford
it. Is that right?
I cannot.
He wants you
I don't know what
to pay for her lawyer.
For her lawyer. Yes, sir. And I can't even afford my own lawyer.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what else to do.
Okay. Well, why don't you go over to www.newfreehelpgroup.com and give me a holler tomorrow. Call me on the phone tomorrow. My phone number is 904-303-9061. Give me a call. Let's take a look at a few things. Is she in this city?
She's in Alabama. She moved to Alabama before the divorce was final. She just hauled off and just left and moved to Alabama.
Okay.
You know, again, I hadn't seen my kid in 4 years.
Okay.
The last time I seen
She's still receiving benefits from the state.
She does. She received from Alabama. She's on food stamps. She's in the project riding around in 2013, Camaro. Living off my $750 of my retirement, but I can only pay her right now $150. But I got to go to court again on the 12th of June to determine if they're going to reduce, if they're going to give me a modification.
Uh-huh.
But the judge told me, he said, "I hope you can read between the lines. If you don't have a job by the 12th." And he wouldn't say, and I asked him, I said, "I don't understand what you're saying. You can read between the lines. I hope you can read between the lines. If you don't have a job by the 12th, it's going to be a different situation for you."
Okay, so he's going to try to lock you up. You know who the judge is? Well, I tell you what, just call me tomorrow. Call me tomorrow.
I will. Thank you, sir.
Okay. You're welcome, bro. Peace. Okay, anybody else got any questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand, and I will open up the line so we can see what's going on here.
Just hearing the word child support sparks an emotional response in just about anyone. Fathers who feel like the rules are more about the paycheck than the parenting. Moms who say they can't live on what they have.
In general, I think that the perception is that it's unfairly biased towards men in the state of Massachusetts.
I think that the formula used is fair. The law is reasonable. People have a responsibility to support their children.
I bring home $1,626 a week and $350 go to child support.
Brian Ayer says $18,000 a year in child support for his infant son is too steep. At 29 years old, he says he had to move back in with his parents. He sees his son every other weekend and a couple of nights a week.
When I have my son, I still need to provide clothing for him. I still need to provide a crib. I need to provide food, diapers. whatever his necessities are when he's with his mother.
I went back to live with my parents. I had to, from a cost standpoint, until I could afford to live in a decent place. And then you feel kind of like a second-class citizen because your kids are coming to a small place after being at, you know, mom's nice house. And
John Gagnon has been paying alimony and writing out child support checks for 11 years. He now pays $2,700 a month for his teenage daughter. He says she stays with him nearly half the time, and his 19-year-old son lived with him full-time before going off to college this fall. He feels the guidelines don't take into account how much time he spends with his kids.
It really didn't matter from a child support guideline standpoint if they had stayed one night a month or zero nights. I would have paid the same then that I paid for 13 nights, having them 13 nights.
When it comes to paying child support, things used to be different in Massachusetts. 1987 is when the first guidelines came out. Judges had non-custodial parents pay a percentage of their income to the custodial parent. They adjusted for the custodial parent's income, but only after the first $20,000.
In 2009, that all changed when a 12-member task force overhauled the state's child support guidelines. Then that task force traveled this state to educate judges.
Now, using a worksheet, incomes from both parents are added together and worked into a formula. Judges also weigh how many children are involved and required expenses. In Massachusetts, that means mandated health insurance, child care, and housing costs. The guidelines also called for changing language. You won't hear the words custody or visitation any longer. Instead, it's parenting time. All of this meant to make the system fair for both parents.
We want kids to be well supported. We want kids to have enough support. But we don't want to create this huge windfall prize that creates conflict between the parents.
Dr. Ned Holstein is the founder of the Fathers' Rights Group, Fathers and Families. He sat on the task force and says the system is still unfair. For instance, he says some states prorate support according to parenting time spent with the child. He also says judges in Massachusetts may order both child support and college expenses until age 23.
We have a long way to go, but I think some of the worst thing is that there is a pervasive gender bias to the family court. Men are still looked at as breadwinners, and women are still looked at as nurturers of children.
Nothing could be further from the truth. We have 24 female judges on the probate court, and we have 24 male judges on the probate court. And to suggest that everyone has grouped together and is biased against the fathers, it simply doesn't happen.
Attorney Marilyn Ryan also sat in the task force. She says the guidelines are meant to put balance into the system. Since nothing is perfect, she says judges are allowed to deviate from those guidelines.
If you have two parents who are each making $500 a week, and they pay the same amount for medical insurance, and there's no other adjustments, and the children principally reside with, let's say, mom, then dad is going to be paying some money to mom for child support. The theory of that being that otherwise mom would be supporting herself and the children.
Do you think these guidelines are fair?
They are extremely fair.
Crystal Arnhold is a single mom who relies on her child support check. She says she receives just under $250 a week to raise her two-year-old son and her five-year-old daughter with Down syndrome.
I work what I can, and I still just barely make it. Like, this month alone, I have, like, $29 to get food for the next 2 weeks.
Crystal works part-time at nights while her mom watches the kids, but money's tight. She says under the new guidelines, she stands to lose more because she's trying to work.
I'm not greedy by any means, and I want to make that perfectly clear. I just try to get for my kids what they need.
Ryan says he's working with the court system, but wants to see more changes.
The best interest of this child is to have a loving, caring home in both places where he's provided equally of both residents, not his mother's, not his father's, but equally among both.
He tells us he doesn't see himself leaving his parents' home anytime soon. So he's writing to his lawmakers to try to change what he believes is a system that's still broken. Charmin Sacchetti, Fox 25 News.
Okay, Moses, we're back. Now, let's take a look at how we got into this mess in the first place. Let's take a look at when you is with your mate. Y'all meet, okay, it's just you and y'all two together. Nobody else is involved. Y'all decide y'all going to get together and we have a baby coming on the way. Okay. Now, The next thing is, well, where's the child going to be born? Because if you go to the hospital, here come the contract, the birth certificate, and the parent signing this and you signing that, so you tie it into the state with that. But then you say, I want to get, let's get married. All right? So once again, now you and the mother and the child, if you haven't had any yet, you say you're going to get married. And then the wife said, well, look, let's get it. I want to have a big chapel wedding, and I get Pastor so-and-so to perform the ceremony and all this. What will happen is pastor that performs the wedding, he records the fact that you've been married with the state. So now the state is involved, you see. You got a third-party contract going on. You got another contract when the child is born. If you go down to the system and you go in the hospital to have your baby come in the world through that system, instead of you bringing your own child in the world, minus the system where there is no contract, and where you go to get married, she gets her family members, you get your family members, you get a book. Both sides print their name and their signatures on there. You both exchange vows and declare yourself married. There is no pastor. There is no preacher. There is no minister to tie nothing to the state. Okay? So now there are no contracts. You see what I'm saying here? Eric O 615.
Hello. How y'all doing?
Hello. Hey, fine, man. Come on in.
Hey, yeah, look, I was just cruising Facebook, and I don't know if you all are done talking about child support.
We're smack dab in the midst of it right now.
Okay, fantastic. well, my name is David Coleman. I have an organization called I Love My Children, Too. Now, let me be clear. I think our children definitely need to be supported by finances. But the problem is, and I'm calling you from Tennessee, and I fought the state of Tennessee about child support and helped get some of the laws changed here. Even still, they are still unfair to men. And the reason being is that if women can fly jets, if women can fly doctors, I mean be doctors, if women can do all the things that women are allowed to do, and let me be perfectly clear, I'm not anti-woman at all, then certainly women can pay child support. Now, I'm only talking about the men who go and pursue custody of their children. 90% of the men who pursue custody of their children, they lose in the courts. How is that fair? It is not fair. And until men start getting together and pursuing these courts through the state, because each state has different custody and child support laws, it's not going to change. We simply sit back and accept what is and cry in our beer. The other thing is this. Now, debtor's prison is illegal in this country. Child support, if you get behind on child support, that is the only debt that you can owe in this country that they can actually jail you. I can go out and buy $1 million worth of property, never pay for it, and never go to jail. But if I get 1 month behind on my child support, I will go to jail. It's wrong, and it should be unconstitutional. Here in the state of Tennessee alone was taking an extra 5% of all the child support that was being paid and putting that extra and saying that that money was a processing fee, whereas many states around the state of Tennessee was charging $4, $5 per check that they wrote. The state of Tennessee was putting that money into the general fund to build roads and bridges. It didn't even affect children, okay? So we sued the state, and the state ended up losing, but the state Supreme Court refused to pay back the extra 5% that all of the fathers here in the state have been paying. So, yes, there is a huge problem with child support. And, again, let me be clear. Our children need to be supported. I think it's ridiculous that men who have children don't want to support them. But if you look at the statistics, those women who end up having to pay child support, they default on child support just as much as the men do, okay, in equal numbers. Now, I traveled around the state, well, the country at one point when I was fighting this, and I came out to Los Angeles to Dr. Rosie Milligan's Black Book Conference, and I did a seminar with nothing but women. And before I went in that seminar, you would hear the little snide comments from women who were about ready to attack me during the seminar. So here's what I did. I asked a simple question as I opened the seminar. How many of you would be willing to pay 21% of your salary without any say-so in where that money goes, any say-so in what type of clothes that child wears, any say-so in what type of religion that child is introduced to? All you can do is see that child every other weekend and 3 weeks out of the summer. How many of you would be willing to do that? And in that particular seminar, there was about 40 women. Not one of them, not one, raised their hands and said, I'd be willing to do that. Now, I've done that seminar all in 4 or 5 different states. I'm yet to have one woman who would say, I'd be willing to do that. So my question is, if you're not willing to do that, why is it that you think men are willing to do that? None of them can ever answer that question, okay? So, yes, it is a problem. It's a huge problem. In fact, it's a moneymaker for states more so than anything else. So I don't know what can be done, but I do know this, that if we want it solved, then that means that we've got to band together and go to the courts and fight it in the courts, because it's certainly unconstitutional.
Okay. Well, that is very, very interesting, brother, and I certainly appreciate you bringing that information. And I have to agree, and I want to add on is when you get ready to do this, brothers, go ahead and make sure that you bring out the media, bring out the newspapers, bring the magazines, let everybody know that this is the place to be and what's going on and what we're going to do. And class action lawsuit is great. You want to look at that, but then you never want to forget to deal with the conspirators on an individual basis too. I like Charlie Sprinkle when he went up against Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan sent a letter back saying that he needed a driver's license. That was a lie, and he put it in writing. But Charlie Sprinkle just didn't settle for suing Ronald Reagan. Charlie Sprinkle sued Ronald Reagan, about 16 other people, and their wives. He sued the wives too on an individual basis. So when you are blowing up stuff, you want to blow it all up. But brother, I certainly appreciate you coming in. I'm gonna go ahead and open up the next line, okay? Thanks, man. All right, 404, come on in.
Yeah, they're cheating, man. Move to real.
Tell me about it.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to see with you. How long would it take to cancel the child support contract?
Well, that depends on you. We'll have to discuss that. The means to do that is at newfreehelpgroup.com. But that is the tool to use. But we're going to have to do some things to make sure that we got it right. So when we do it, we do it right. So the best thing to do is contact me on that tomorrow.
Okay, yes, sir.
All right, 904-303-9061. If anybody else got any more questions and comments, go ahead and raise your hand so that we can get this stuff out here in the open right now, okay? Let's go take a look at this situation and see what we got. Child support fraud. How do you do the child support fraud? What is that all about? Let's check that out and see what that's about. and I'll see where we at on that. Is this thing legal? Is it a scam? Is it to me it resembles nothing but a conspiratorial situation, because it's all about the money. And just like the lady said, when it came to dealing with the children and relations between parents, all that was like put on the back burner. We just got to get the money right. Somebody got to pay.
I'm going to bring the whole fucking diseased, corrupt temple down on your head.
In this episode, we're taking a look at child support hearing officer program.
It doesn't have anything to do with the law. It doesn't have anything to do with justice.
When the master gives you something, you take it. He gave you a name. It's a nice name. It's Toby. And it's going to be yours till the day you die.
Non-attorneys, receptionists, clerks, janitors, we don't even know who these people are, have been completing legal pleadings to establish child support orders in a court of law without having any statutory authority to do so.
Extortion agents, so-called child support workers.
Good morning. My name is Teresa Andrews. I'm a child support hearing officer. I'm not a judge.
We actually wrote the orders ourselves, and then we enforced them, and the judge merely rubber-stamped them. He was too busy to actually become personally involved in what was going on.
The judge sits at the center of the machine. The judge is what one activist I know calls the ringmaster of a circus. He cues in the various performers. He passes out patronage.
Well, that's one of the benefits of being a judge, Mr. Rice. I can pretty much do whatever I want.
These non-attorneys are walking into courtrooms and telling judges, testifying without being under oath, Your Honor, this man needs to be sentenced to jail. He didn't pay his full child support.
I will be taking testimony. Based on testimony and whatever documents are presented, I will be making a recommendation.
If you please stand at this time, you're going to be restrained and custody by the deputy, and then I'll review with you my report and recommendation.
We weren't just told to withhold information, forms, policies, laws, and statutes from our clients with questions, but we were forbidden from helping them obtain any legal relief from unfair situations beyond their control.
I never broke the law. I am the law.
You could dig a hole in the middle of Siberia and they'd be entitled to a cut of your wages, because in their minds, under their law, they own you.
Well, this is one of your bills, and it's not the bill that gets paid last. Child support gets paid before your rent, before your food, before your electricity.
Did you hear about the two fathers that froze to death in the Dakotas because they didn't have money to even rent a place?
You also have to give them something where they can pay and they can still be able to support themselves. I mean, if you're going to take all of their money, they're not going to work at all.
Okay, so for 3 months when you weren't working and your wife wasn't working, who supported you?
Me and my family helped me.
Okay, and did you use any of that money that your family gave you to help you?
No.
Please don't interrupt me. Let me ask the question, or you don't know what I'm asking you. Did you use any of the money that your family gave you to pay towards this child support?
Call it what it is. It's extortion. It's not child support. Call extortion extortion.
The Office of Child Support Enforcement says it's attempted to seize any bank accounts. It's notified.
Ooh-wee! That was kind of rough. Well, nevertheless, there it is. We live in the United States of America that operates on a continuous series of contracts called contract law. Offer and acceptance. That's the way it is. Now, what we are under the impression of, most of us, is that the states are making laws. But these states cannot make a law. What they're doing is creating statutes and ordinances and enforcing them, and these statutes and ordinances are masquerading as law. We got people believing that you got courts and judges. There's only one court inside this country, and that's the International Court of Trade. The rest of these buildings or administrative buildings, these people, including the ones with the robes on, these people are administrative employees. When we learn the underlying factors and exactly how the game works, we realize that we are the masses, millions of us, and we can do what we have to do to deal with this situation, but we want to deal with it in mass. In mass, okay? So now we're going to deal with another situation here. Keep looking at this thing, man, so we can clearly understand what's going on. We're looking at it from every conceivable angle. Keep in mind, if you have questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand. I'll open up the line so that you can get in, okay?
Moving, man. 2013, we're coming, man. The music, the videos, all that. Blogs, all that. Stay in touch, man, for real. Right now, this segment right here, man, is about the prison system and child support. And, you know, I'm doing this for everybody, you know, that's been arrested on these unconstitutional charges. And I'm about to prove to you right now in this video why it is unconstitutional and that child support is illegal. It's illegal. The first thing about child support you need to know is, I'm not even going to go into the social and civil problems with it, because, you know, I don't pay child support. I don't have kids, so I don't know what that's like. But I can give you the law, right? Basically, three Supreme Courts, one in Georgia, one in Minnesota, and one in Nevada, has recently declared constitutional-wise that child support is unconstitutional. It's not right. It's wrong. It's illegal. So three states have declared it unconstitutional. The reason why you haven't heard about this is basically for the simple fact is they want to suppress that knowledge, so you're going to try to go learn law and go try to and escape the beneficial economic trap they got you in. Because check this out, man. Did you know that they earn $10 billion a year? The court system earns $10 billion a year collecting child support. And the truth about child support is that child support agencies have no jurisdiction in any law, in any legal entity, any body of law. No one can show me one federal law, not a code, not a statute, a law, one federal law declaring child support legal. I don't want to hear nothing about an act or a code. Show me the law. First of all, man, you know, I'm black, so not even to be racist, I know a lot of men who pay child support. And I've seen, you know, the type of slavery you put them in, and I always wanted to learn about, what is this? What is child support? Was it really put here so men who wasn't there for their kid can pay, or was it put here for another reason? Because, you know, men who don't take care of their kid has been around for years. You know, it's been around for years. Child support hasn't become popular until now. And it's a reason for that, because they trying to drain you for everything you got. You know, just because a man doesn't take care of his kid, what does the government or courts have to do with that? You know, that's just like saying that the government had a right to choose who you sleep with. They have no control over that. I'm not saying it's right; it's wrong. Because if I had a child, I'm pretty sure, you know, if I couldn't be there, I'd be dead. That's the only way. Straight up, man. But anyway, man, let's get into the laws real quick, man. Printing some out too, man. Anyway, you know, I love to read. Check this out, man. You ever heard of A.G. Edwards or Merrill Lynch, man? The banks? Well, they have contracts to sell prison bonds to the city and county, state, or federal prisons. Over 50% of that money is purchased by Japan and China. And Walmart and Kmart has also purchased some of these bonds. Prisoners are traded on the stock market, because when they go to prison, they produce economic goods, license plates, tires, Xbox 360s, shoes. Yeah, I know, because I have family members in prison. Everything you got out here, they make. Furniture, all of that. They make it, and they don't get shit. They don't get nothing for it. And check it out real quick, man. Once again, man, you know, the county or the state with these bonds, they multiply times 10, right? So let's say an investor offer 40% of $40 million. Oh, that's pretty much $16 million. And it's multiplied by 300% and then sold to a bank, right? So each prisoner is originally worth $40 million. But imagine 16% times 300% multiplication. Like, come on, man. They making guap off of every time you don't pay child support, they come scoop you up. It's illegal to, you know, no man can go to jail for own money. Debtor's prison is illegal. Come on, man. Stop letting it happen, man. Educate yourself on the law, man. Pay attention. Pay attention real quick, man. You know the owners of the prison systems in America? It's called Correction Corporation of America. And their headquarters is in Nashville, Tennessee. Right? Come on, man. You got Lehman Brothers, Payne and Weber Group. You know, come on, man. They all have stock, these banks. The same banks you're going to put your money in have stocks in the prisoners. Come on. You know, it's a six-digit number for the issuing of stocks. It's the same six-digit number, those red letters, those red numbers and letters on your birth certificate, right? It's the same numbers. Same exact numbers, man. And they use these to keep track of their bonds, a.k.a. prisoners. You know what I'm talking about? Man, it gets more corrupt because have you noticed that there's no child support agency in the court? People file child support for child support at a mall or a separate agency. That's how you can tell child support ain't got nothing to do with courts. It's a game. You know, they like to put people in jail for little bags of weed. They like to put people in jail for owing child support. You know, because they make that ching-ching. They make that $50 million every time. The prison system is probably one of the most richest corporations in America. It's a corporation. Google everything I'm saying, man. Come on, man. Hey, come on, man. Dang. For these women out here, man, how you expect a man to be there for your kid if you taking out child support? And if he can't pay, he going to go to jail. Look at the economy. Nobody got good jobs. Nobody got good jobs, man. Nobody. Is you doing it because you mad because y'all can't be together? Why is you really doing it? Come on, man. Be an adult. Work it out together. Help each other. Be humans about it. And if he not being that for you, if he not there, so what? So what? A lot of people grew up without a dad. Look how successful they became. All the child support in the world is not going to make you successful. Stop trying to spend it on red bottoms and weed packets. Come on, man. Be real with it. Again, man. If anybody had to pay child support, man, I'm gonna send you some documents. And when you go to court, use it. Use it, cause your lawyer, he not there for you. Corpus juris secundum. The lawyer's first duty is to the court, not the client. Read that book. Get the Black Law Dictionary, Corpus juris secundum handbook. I read, man. I got them both. I got to print it out and hurry, read, but.
Okay, well, we're back. If anybody got any questions or comments, now's the time to raise your hand. I was kind of hoping that the sisters would come on in with us this evening so that we can all chat. And the line and the floor is open to you, sisters. Come on in so that we can talk with you and you can give us your comments, okay? All right. And we're moving right along with this thing here. We're trying to get at it from every angle that we possibly can.
R.D. Burrell, and you're about to enter judgment, child support court, the criminal side, where the judge makes a decision based on evidence. Can you? The cases are up.
Mr. Dillon, you have some motions here. It says you want to go to the day reporting center.
Yes, sir.
And you want more time for job search.
Yes, sir.
Now, you don't get more time for job search. We can't do that.
Okay.
Now, you've been in jail since April.
Yeah.
April 29th.
Yes, sir.
So we got 6 weeks in.
Yes, sir.
You have not paid a nickel's worth of child support in that time.
Yes, sir. That's because I don't have a job. I got terminated from my job when I got locked up. That's why I was saying so I could get out and get my job back and better myself and pay. You know, I just need like a day report like type of program where I could get out and continue to pay
actually,
my child support.
Hang on for a second. You've been in jail since February. Hang on. Let me back this up here. No, hold on. You've been in jail since October. October 1.
Really, it was.
Hang on. I got to process this whole thing.
Okay, sir.
So we got all of October, November, December, and we got 6 months. You've served 9 months. Is that true or false?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now hang on for a second. I'm still going to try to get with this. So in 9 months, you've not paid. Well, you were paying some money. In 9 months, you have paid a total of $185, $186.50, $235 in 9 months. You're required to pay $60 a week.
Sir, I got two cases where I was in the TIA program.
Uh-huh.
And then I started paying back in March when I got out. I started paying. I paid more than that.
Okay, let me do this. Anybody else on the docket needs to pay attention. This is an important thing. It's a very important piece of evidence. Mr. Dillon, you know this, because I'm sure I've told you this before. In every case, every day, I get one of these documents. This is an accounting of all the child support payments or the past 16 child support payments you have made in this case.
Okay.
Right? Paid through the child support office.
Yes, sir.
The past 16. It's a certified record. The keeper of the records has certified that this is accurate.
Yes, sir.
I see that you paid a payment March the 11th, March 18th, April 7th, and April 15th. So you made four payments, right? 65, 60, 61, and 50. With me, that gets me to 236.
Sir, I got two cases. That's just...
Okay.
Okay.
Are you doing time on your other case?
Yes, sir. Them cases was together. When I went to TIA program, I paid a total of $145 per week. That right there is for Sharonda Mills. I got another one for Michelle Fields, which I paid $80 a week on her. I paid them together.
Okay.
I was in the TIA program. I got validated on the TIA program, and then I got back on the TIA program, and that's when I started paying.
Here's the problem. Let's get back to your original request.
Yes, sir.
Your original request was that you wanted to be on the day reporting center.
Yes, sir.
We got two problems with that.
Yes,
one, the day reporting center is full up. They can only have 75. If I referred you to the day reporting center, you'd be on a waiting list, and I don't know how long the wait would be. I would say the wait might, could be as much as 90 days because some people have to get out of the program before they can put people in the program, right?
Yes, sir.
The second thing is the day reporting center, you have to have at least 180 days left on your sentence. You only got about 90. So I can't put you in the day reporting center. I can't give you extended job search. Part of that is this. I used to do that. I used to get everybody, I said, I don't care, I don't want to look for a job. You can look for a job every day.
Yes, sir.
But the jail says all that does is encourage people to wander around town. They ain't really looking for a job. This jail ain't bad. I don't have to listen to nobody except the jailers. The food is tolerable. I get to go out and stretch my legs 4 hours, 5 days a week, and life is good, right? And the jail says they spend too much time just trying to keep track of you. And they say, Judge, you need to just give 2 days worth of job search so that people can be motivated if they know they just have a short period of time to get a job, to get after it and get a job.
Well, while I was working there, they said they was willing to take me back if I was to get out of CCC.
Where were you working?
At Purcell Staffing. That's where I work at. And, they'd be like, a lot of places don't take people out of CCC because they say that, that the counselors, don't let them come to work or whatever. So, they're not willing to sign me out of CCC. But there was like, if you get out, I could go back. I could come back.
Now, Mr. Dillon?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Dillon, I think I got about 150 days on this one by now.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know that I've issued a challenge to the entire state of Kentucky, right? I said anybody. I want anybody in the entire state of Kentucky. I don't care where you're from.
Yes, sir.
Paducah, Ashland, Lexington, Frankfort. I don't care. Anybody,
yes,
anywhere in the state of Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
To find me 4 square feet where more lies are told than the ground you're standing on.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of a movable ground. Like we're up in 201. We're now at 104. But I take it it's like standing 8 feet from me, right where 4 square feet.
Yes, sir.
It's the ground you're standing on.
I understand.
It's unchallenged. It is unchallenged.
Yes, sir.
I have found the 4 square feet where more lies are told than any place else in the state of Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to believe you. Everything you're telling me might be true. I cannot believe it.
Yes, sir.
And the problem is you got 9 months in, and you paid $236 in this case.
Yes,
maybe
sir.
You paid more money in another case, but you have not paid enough money to get out of jail. Do you have a job search this very day?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I tell you, you have some great success. I got more people who have found jobs than anybody in CCC and say, look, I finally figured this out. I ain't never getting out of jail until I get a job. I need some help. Do you know where I can get a job?
Yes, sir.
They might be able to help you.
I went to food team, you know, and they said, you know, they'll get me a schedule when they can.
Okay.
So, you know, said I have been there, you know.
But you've got to pay your child support, you're never getting out of jail. How old are your children with Miss Mills?
12 and 10.
Okay. Do you realize you can do 8 more years in jail for not paying your child support?
I understand. That's why I'm trying to get out so I can pay, because I know I can get me a job and where I can pay. You know, I just need, you know, it's out in the county. I just need that, you know what I'm saying, that leeway where I can get out there and I can make those payments. That's no problem to me.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I
can. The job is, did you say out of county or out in the county?
No, it's out in the county, out in Newberry, Purcell Staffing.
You can do that. There's nothing stopping you. I don't know you. What? I'm afraid your motion is going to be denied. You've got to show me more than you're showing me for me to give you some kind of a break here.
What you want me to show you? I
want you to pay child support. That's all I want. Nothing more, nothing less. Pay child support. And otherwise, you just got to ride out this time. And the fact of the matter is, I'm not really encouraged about this. You got 9 months in on this case right here. You served, how many is that? 270 days, and you paid $236. I'm beginning to believe that you like jail.
Sir, I got out. I was out on the TIL program.
And it didn't last. You know, and why didn't it last?
Because
you didn't pay your child support.
I didn't make payments, and then I started making my payments, and everything was okay.
Well, when you say you started, you made 4 payments in 9 months, and I'm done. You need to go to the deputies.
All right, yeah.
All right.
Can justice be balanced? You don't want to find out in child support court. Until next time, take care of your business.
Quite an amazing situation. One man facing another man. I think they'll probably just put me in the gallows because I don't know how to do that. I don't know how how to do that. Now, what I'm recommending brothers to do, brothers, I make friends with people. I travel across the United States, and I make friends where I go, and friends that I can count on. I want to be able to, and I always pride myself on trying to be able to, if I got a problem, I can at least put 25 men on the ground in any state, in any given state that I am in inside the United States, just from a single phone call. These are my friends. We love one another. And we're kind to one another, generous to one another, and helpful toward one another. And it's always good to have friends. You see, friends are good to have. We're going to roll down and we're going to look at this thing for a minute. Let's take a look at the tax.
Joining us now, I love this man.
Oh, he's great.
You know your son voted for him, right?
Yeah,
we
he's
keep
my
saying,
son, of
okay,
course.
Okay, Republican representative from Texas, Congressman Ron Paul on the show this morning. And here on the set, host of CNBC's Mad Money, a very, very good-natured Jim Cramer.
He's
this morning.
Positive.
He's feeling positive.
He's feeling bullish.
Happy energetic,
money. Happy money.
Came around
he's
and shook
bullish.
Everyone's hands, excited about the future.
Well, let's go to the revolution.
Oh, yeah. Let's start
Ron
there.
Ron Paul. I was just talking to my good friend Tom Coburn earlier, and of course you and Coburn and myself and some other people fought in the 90s for less government. Then during the Bush era, Republicans spent like never before. But as I said to Tom, and I'll say it to you too, it seems like the world is coming back to you. And Tom and other people who've been preaching about small government for a very long time.
At least on the surface, it seems that way, and the rhetoric has changed, and I think it's out of desperation. I think finally the people have awakened, and they know we can't continue to do this, that this deficit and the spending is unsustainable, so people are waking up. But the solutions are yet to be found. I think the sentiment is changing, the talk is different, and that's encouraging, but I still see it an overwhelming task on how we're
Absolutely.
Going to cut back all the spending because everybody has their own special program they will want to protect.
Are you heartened by the debt commission and what they've come up with?
Well, I'm heartened because they're talking about what they should do. I was heartened because they took the suggestion that Barney Frank and I sent to them. We sent a joint letter to them about looking at least at the military. So they're talking about the military, and now I've seen a couple other Republicans that would never say that before are talking about it. But, you know, even that, I'm not reassured totally because I think you have to change the policy. You can't, you know, quit one weapon system and think that's solution if you still want to be the policeman of the world. But the fact that it's out on the table now, I think is very good.
Well, and Ron, that is a bit of revolutionary. Republicans that claim to be small government deficit hawks want to stay in Afghanistan for another decade, want to continue every one of these weapon systems. We can't balance this budget. We can't sustain ourselves fiscally if we keep spending money on these two wars and keep spending Pentagon money the way we are, right?
Right. And you know, I think they forgot about Eisenhower. You know, he did leave us with a strong suggestion about watching out for the military-industrial complex. So, no, this cannot work. We have to change our ways, and we have to cut back, and we have to put it on the table. Besides, I think politically, why isn't politically this is a grand move? I mean, how many people here, if the American people were voting, they'd vote $10 billion for building embassies around the world, and we have them all over the place and more bases. You could take $10 billion and say, well, we're coming up short. You know, I don't endorse any of the welfare programs, but I wouldn't be adverse to saying if we could save $10 billion from building embassies, put $5 billion into taking care of the unemployed or medical care benefits to tide us over and put $5 billion against the deficit. To me, that's a political out for us
well,
all, but no, nobody will touch it. Nobody will touch
Amika,
that.
Amika, what about $2 billion a week in Afghanistan?
Well,
$2 billion a week in Afghanistan.
Look, what the congressman says makes a lot of sense. He doesn't want to raise the debt ceiling, and the debt commission proposals may be harsh, but there's something that we need to look at as a country, Jim Cramer. How do any of the ideas, though, fly in this economy and in this Washington climate?
I think they only fly as we get closer and closer to the consequences. Dave Cote, who's the CEO of Honeywell, came on our network yesterday, CNBC, and talked about how this stuff is so close. This is not the 30 and 40 years if we don't do something. This is 10 years. It's way too close, and we have got to reach some
when
agreement.
When you say do something, you mean Greece, Ireland?
No,
those sort of meltdown?
IMF comes here if we don't do this deficit reduction. You know, IMF is really pretty powerful, and you don't want them in your country. But that's who comes in when you can't pay your debts.
Ron?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's a great point, because it used to be said, and I say it less frequently now, if we continue to do this, all we're doing is dumping this debt on our children and our grandchildren. I don't think that's true anymore.
It's
Jim's right. It's here.
Now.
I mean, we're in the midst of the crisis.
It's on us. And that is, I talked about what we did in the 90s. The big difference between the 90s and now is, John Heilman, I used to say, we can't strap our children and grandchildren. No, it's us now. I mean, and we do have maybe a decade if we don't clean up our act.
Well, but here's a question. Mika just mentioned the fact that Congressman Paul is in favor of not allowing the debt ceiling to be raised. And that's going to be a big issue coming in the next couple months coming before Congress. I want to ask Jim, master of the money market, a practical question.
Sure.
So if Congressman Paul has his way, and there are some Tea Party, other members, Tea Party types in the House, let's say the debt ceiling doesn't get extended in January or February when that vote comes up. What happens to the U.S.? What's the scenario that plays out in terms of the U.S. and how in the global financial scenario?
That's pretty clear. Same thing if we don't get a deal on tax cuts. We're going to find ourselves back in a recession. We can't afford to slow things down. Look what happened in Europe. They were doing well, and then suddenly some of these countries that we thought were rescued hit a wall. We are in a fragile recovery. It's great. It's lasted so far. For 4 weeks, we've had great data. We wipe that out in a nanosecond if we don't get a debt ceiling improvement.
So Ron, reply to that then, Ron. What happens if we don't raise the debt ceiling?
Well, I think it is very serious, but we think the problem is serious. But if we want to say, well, let's just raise the debt limit. I remember when Reagan asked us to raise the debt limit by $50 billion in the first year he was in office. He says, do it. The Democrats ran this up. And this is the last time I'm going to ask you to raise the debt limit. Before he was out of office, he had us raise the debt limit $500 billion in 1 year. Now we raise the debt limit by trillions. Eventually, if we're serious, we do it, and we pay our bills as the income in. But you don't have to pay the Fed interest rates on the debt. I mean, what do we have to do that for? Pay the private owners of debt, but not the Fed. So you could do it, but that would mean that we're serious and we have to cut. But I would agree with Jim. It certainly would shake up the markets. But what will runaway and what will the crashing of the bond bubble do? The crashing of the dollar? That's right. 10 times worse.
They will come here. The bonds
are away. By the way, I understand what you guys are saying about not raising the debt ceiling. I understand that. But I remember back in 95 voting against raising the debt ceiling because I was shocked. I was shocked and stunned that it was $5 trillion, that we're going to raise it to $5 trillion. I said, you know what? I'm going to just make a point. I'm going to vote against raising the debt ceiling. Because they said, let's be responsible, because you know what? We'll just raise it this time, and then we're in power, and we're going to do better. Then they raised it to 6, and then they raised it to 7. When I wrote my book in 2004, I said, they're now raising the debt ceiling to $7.5 trillion. Who could have ever believed that? Now, Ron, what do they want to raise it to?
Well, it's going at 14 or 15
6 years later. 6 years later. I could not believe in 2005 that it was $5 trillion. I couldn't believe in 2004 that it was $7.5 trillion. Now we're up to $14 trillion, Ron. Where does it end?
Well, it'll end with runaway inflation, but this is the moral hazard. We always raise the debt limit, and the Fed always monetizes the debt. So deep down in the hearts of all members of Congress, they're not under the pressure to do it. If the Fed couldn't monetize debt and the debt limit couldn't be increased, they say, oh, my goodness, we're going to have to change policies. Maybe we shouldn't be the policeman of the world. Maybe we shouldn't be the endless welfare state. And it will come to an end, because when it ends with a dollar crisis, everybody loses. Nobody gets anything, and then there's political chaos, and we're not immune to that. You know, this idea that we won't suffer the same consequences of other nations, right now we bail out everybody. When you look at what the Fed did, the announcement yesterday, bailing out foreign banks, we bail out foreign governments. We've already bailed out states, their pension funds, to the tune of $40 billion. California's received $8.6 billion, so we're endless. But it all depends on trust in the dollar. One day, the people will wake up, and the people of the world will say, why are we trusting this counterfeit machine? The world's biggest counterfeit machine in the history of the world.
Oh, my God.
No, I've got to say, Mika, the arrogance.
Yes,
the arrogance of our economists.
Yeah, well.
And the arrogance of our academics and the arrogance of American politicians to believe somehow that we are not susceptible to runaway inflation is staggering. It's staggering to people across Europe, in China, across the world. They cannot believe how arrogant we are, that for some reason We escape history in America, and inflation doesn't hit. That's just not.
As Larry Summers said to me last night at dinner I went to, if you look at the textbooks, the standard textbooks for economics, they all start the same way, which is that we put in enough rules, enough mechanisms that we'll never have deflation again. We've had deflation for 2 years.
Yeah.
Look at UK. They put through austerity, and they've got growth already. Austerity works.
And you're bullish, by the way, on America.
Are you still happy?
I am bullish because we're hiring. I'm bullish because we might have compromise. I'm bullish because our central bank has credibility. Even though I know Congressman doesn't agree with that.
Ron Paul, thank you very much for being on the show.
But Ron Paul, you did have Jim Cramer. I don't know if it's going to be a bumper sticker in the next presidential campaign. He says austerity works.
Did you hear that?
It causes growth.
That's
got to prune back the tree.
All right, Congressman.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Moors, we got a new website up as newfreehelpgroup.com. Now, when you go over to newfreehelpgroup.com, make sure you examine everything that's there. We put several packages up for those people who if you're in your house upside down and you just want to cancel your mortgage outright. It's all illegal anyway. Just go right over there to newfreehelpgroup.com and the link of talkarchives.org is there. If you click on that, you will see all the packages that's made available to you. Now, don't forget, you cancel your debt, you got a student loan debt, child support debt, credit card debt, all that can be dealt with. And any other contract cancellations, you'll see all the packages that's there made available. But what we are doing is for anybody that's accessing these packages all the way up until July, we're adding to our archives to each one. So don't forget, go right there to newfreehelpgroup.com and click on the link at talkarchives.org, and everything is sitting right there waiting on you. Okay? Peace, Moles.
Okay, Moles.
...of the children and families. It's a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce to you Ms. Carol Rhodes.
I came to the 37th Circuit Family Court to make a difference. I was well qualified and hoped to be able to help Michigan families of divorce and separation, but early on I realized that the system was...
Okay. Now, that was a very admirably of the lady to bring this information out and expose all the underbelly of the child support system and what it's really about. I'm sorry, but the whole thing is a scam. It's just about money, and that's just the bottom line. Okay? So, ain't no other
way. Hey, everybody, this is Anton here. I'm making this video as a response to the original video called Child Support Must Be Abolished for the Sake of the Children. It's actually a response to the response of that original video. Now, when we're talking about child support, what I'm talking about is, I'm not talking about married couples who get a divorce and the wife takes a guy to child support, usually, or takes a guy and forces him to pay child support. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a woman who gets pregnant. Guy right off the bat says, I don't want to be a father. Then the woman still goes through pregnancy and then takes a guy kicking and screaming to child support, and you never wanted to have a child in the first place, and blah, blah, blah. That's what I'm mainly talking about, and that's what the video was talking about, referring to, too. Now, to the person who opposed that video, you bring up the fact that, the quote, it's a woman's body, and that it's her choice to have the child, and that a man has no right to compel a woman to have a child if she wants to get an abortion, which I totally agree with. I totally agree with that 100%, absolutely. A man has no right to tell a woman not to get an abortion if she wants to get an abortion. So yes, I'm with you 100% on that part. But I think most people saw the flaw. I read a lot of comments in that video, and just common sense will tell you this. I think that the flaw in that argument is that using that same line of reasoning and saying that since it's totally the woman's decision to have the child, the consequences of having that child must also rest upon the woman. So if a woman actually wants to follow through with her pregnancy after getting fair warning from the guy that he wants no part of it, then the woman must make a rational or logical decision whether she wants to continue through with her pregnancy. But just as the man has no right to force a woman to follow through with a pregnancy, which I totally agree with, no woman or government has the right to force a man to engage in a relationship with the person that he doesn't want to, either directly or indirectly. When I say indirectly, I'm talking about in the form of the government forcing money from the guy forcefully and redistributing it to a party that he wants no relationship to. It's almost kind of like the taxation issue, if you think about it, where the government steals from you, but they don't call it stealing, when that's essentially what it is. And that's really why I'm opposed to child support, is because they utilize the state, which is a central institution that's only able to sustain itself through force and theft anyway, which they euphemistically refer to as taxation, to perpetuate it even further by forcing individuals to do things that they don't want to do. That's essentially why I'm opposed to child support system, because it strips individuality and liberty. Now, of course, people claim that it takes two to conceive a child, which is their attempt to justify child support, but that could be easily refuted by, while it takes two to conceive, it only takes one to decide to follow through with what occurs after the conception. So in other words, if a woman wants an abortion, it's totally up to her. If a woman wants to give the child up for adoption, it's up to her, totally. If she wants to keep the child and raise it, it's totally up to her. So you see, the choices are 100% up to her, the woman. But the man has no say-so at all. If he doesn't want to have a child, then he'll be forced to partake in the child's life. So if he doesn't want the child, she'll force him to partake in the child's life, even though the man has no right to do the opposite. Now, I have my own personal opinions about men who don't take care of their children, but that's irrelevant. Unlike other people, I'd never want to impose my opinions on the general public and make a law. Or if you don't obey it, the state has the authority to literally kill you if it comes down to it. And it does come down to that sometimes. There's many things that I personally abhor, like hate speech, for instance, that I'd never want to be outlawed. So I could feel the ad homs coming in my direction. But again, my personal opinion about so-called deadbeats, it's not a positive one, but nevertheless, liberties don't conflict with one another, and it's up to the woman to decide whether she wants to have a child or not with a deadbeat. So it's her responsibility to do that and not to force an unwanting party into that relationship if he doesn't want to, especially if he says so from the beginning. You also talk about the responsibility of getting pregnant, but I think that responsibility lies mainly on the woman on this one, since it's the woman who gets pregnant, and they have the responsibility for keeping themselves from getting pregnant. And if you want to just be blunt about it, I think the responsible thing to do many times in this situation is to get an abortion, to be quite honest. Why a woman would want to have a child when she's not financially or emotionally ready, with a man who clearly is not interested in having a child, it's not cool. It's beyond me why a woman would want to even do that. As I get older, I kind of understand why a woman would want to do that, and the reasons are not good. I'm not going to get into why, I think. It's for a different video, maybe. But the reason I see women actually going through with these pregnancies after they're not financially or emotionally ready, and after they have them with guys who don't want to be, are not, won't want to be dads, are not good reasons, as far as what I've seen. So that's pretty much it. It's a controversial video. Probably get a lot of disagreement, but leave your comments and questions in the video chat comment box or whatever. All right, thanks for listening.
And filed a claim for child support, huh?
You got it.
Well, welcome to the club. I've been paying for over 10 years now. And Jason, you've been paying for what?
Almost 3 years now.
It isn't always easy, but paying child support is the right thing to do.
We weren't even planning to have a kid.
But you did. And he's beautiful. And he's yours.
Yeah.
Actually,
are you sure he's yours? What are you talking about?
Child support can help prove if the kid is yours or not.
And that's important, because if you've been assuming that you're the father, and you've been paying and taking him out and all, and then you find out that the kid's not yours, child support can still make you pay, because it's in the kid's best interest.
It's better to straighten out this paternity stuff from the beginning, you know.
Why do I have to go through the courts? I already give her money when I can. I'm always handing her cash for something. And I buy the kid toys all the time.
But the state has it set up so that she and the baby can know how much to expect and when to expect it.
But how am I supposed to come up with all this money? I still don't have my papers. Right now, I barely work.
Hey, look, Mario. The family court and the child support people don't even care about your papers. Their main concern is getting money for your kid. They never talk to immigration, so chill.
And what are you talking about, all the money? You don't even know how much you're going to pay until you go to court.
Immigration status will not be discussed in court.
Thank you.
Your information will not be shared with other courts.
Look at her. My Denise is beautiful. Because she doesn't look like me.
Yeah, lucky her.
I don't like this. Being forced to pay the government. How do I know where the money goes?
You may not like it, Mario. But it's the law. You don't have a choice. And the money is for your kids.
Listen, don't fool around with this. Ignoring a summons will get you nothing but
trouble. You don't mess with them. When you see a letter from child support, you better open
it. And you may not believe this, but they'll work with you. They know they can't get money out of you if you don't have it. Go to court on the day they tell you and tell the judge your situation. If you're straight with them, it'll make life easier for you and your kid. If you miss a date, they'll make you pay anyway.
So what happens next?
Well, first, you show up in court when they tell you. Don't be late. It's better for you to wait for them than for them to wait for you. Be polite to the court officer. He or she is your ticket to getting your case resolved. And don't walk into court saying you're broke or jobless or looking like that guy over there.
What's wrong with him?
How you present yourself is important. You got to show respect for the magistrate and the court. You want to wear something presentable and take your hat off your head. I learned that one the hard way.
Dress in respectful clothes like pants and a button-down shirt. Don't wear expensive jewelry. Court is not the place for bling. It's important to be on time for your child support hearing at family court.
Please have a seat next to the attorney right over here.
And arrive with appropriate documents. Bring to court identification cards or proof of identity such as driver's license, passport, a document that shows your full name and social security number or individual tax ID number, proof of living expenses, utility bills, phone bills, rent or mortgage receipts, proof of employment, income, or benefits such as bank statements, pay stubs, copies of previous year's W-2, income tax forms you filed, affidavit of net worth that was included in the summons. Remember, if you don't show up at your court date or call to reschedule, the magistrate will decide what you pay without hearing what your situation is. Show up for yourself and for your kids. At the hearing, the magistrate will establish paternity if that hasn't been done yet. He or she will review what benefits the child and custodial parent receive and gather information about your financial situation.
Sir, you've been summoned to court today based upon your obligation to help support your child. How long have you been employed at All Mechanics Plus?
About 3 months.
And you make about $11 an hour for about 30 hours a week?
Yes, sir.
Your support obligation will be based upon the Child Support Standards Act.
The magistrate will determine how much you pay per week or per month based on how many children you have and your income. It can be deducted directly from your paycheck and sent directly to the Office of Child Support. If you're out of work, the magistrate will take that into consideration.
I wish everyone the best of luck. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them now.
What happens if my situation changes or I lose my job?
Well, you come back to court, file your petition, and it'll be before me at some point, and then I'll re-examine your circumstances to see if it's appropriate to modify or change the order of support.
Thank you, sir.
If you don't have a job or you don't make enough money, the magistrate will make the order for less.
But if you don't show up, then you'll probably be ordered to pay more, plus penalties, too.
Or eventually end up in jail.
Really?
Look, raising a kid in the city is not cheap. And I know, because I got 3 of them. And I used to have custody. Yeah. They used to live with me a long time ago. So, I know what their mother's going through.
I hated paying at first. But then I think about my little girl, and I feel good because I'm doing good by her.
You don't have a full-time job, right?
No.
So the magistrate will refer you to an employment agency that'll help you find something. That's how I found my job.
If you are out of work or need additional work, the family court magistrate will refer you to the STEP program. STEP helps you to find a job that's right for you.
I love them.
Jobs can be in clerical, construction, customer service, food service, healthcare, retail, security guard, among others.
So the child support payment gets taken directly out of your check?
Every 2 weeks, they take out $150. But your situation is different, so you'll pay something different. It's a percentage of your income based on how many kids you have.
Your employers have to take it out unless you work for yourself.
And it's nothing to be ashamed of. Paying child support means that you're trying to be a good dad. It means that you're taking care of your kids.
And if you work for yourself, like me, then you send the money directly to the child support office in Albany.
And if you forget to pay?
Man, you don't want to mess with child support. You gotta work with them, because they can make it work for you, or they can make it tough.
If you miss payments, you can accumulate arrears or child support debt. This is the money you already owe, which may include penalties. Lack of payment can also result in suspension of driver's license and passport, seizing tax refunds, lottery winnings, and bank accounts, financial penalties, being reported to credit agencies. This can make it hard to get a loan or credit card, possibly jail.
So for how long would I have to pay child support?
Until your kids are 21.
Or if they come to live with you, you don't have to pay. In fact, she may have to pay you. Or if you get back together with your ex.
That's not going
to
happen.
Then pay what you're supposed to. And if anything changes, say you move out of state or move apartments, you notify the Office of Child Support about your change in address. Keep everyone informed.
And if I get on my feet and start paying, what if I don't like the way my ex is spending my money?
Man, you can't sweat the small stuff. This is all about your kids. If she's taking care of them day to day, she needs some help.
Yeah, you can't worry about that.
Look, my daddy did nothing for me and my mom. I don't want to be like that. I don't want my kids to think of me the way I think of him.
And if she gets mad and decides not to let me see my boy?
Then you go to the family courts and petition for visitation rights. But that's a whole different issue than child support. Even if you aren't seeing your son, you still owe child support. It's the law.
Just remember, open your mail, go to the court, and be polite to the judge. And always follow up with it. It'll make life easier for everybody. And most important, it'll let your kids know you're there for them.
I love my kids. They don't have to worry about that.
Good.
If you have something new to report or have questions, contact the New York State Child Support Helpline at 888-208-4485 or visit the Child Support Customer Services Walk-In Center at 151 West Broadway, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10013. Or visit nyc.gov/HRA.
Okay, I regard that as one of the best commercials that I ever seen and heard from. We have all these people in there show you that we need to keep this thing going. We need to follow the rules. It is the law. Be polite to the judge, any criminals. Just calm down. Just keep this thing going. Ooh-wee. That was a good one. I must say, they got that. I could when I ran across that.
The children and families. It's a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce to you Ms. Carol Rhodes.
Came to the 37th Circuit Family Court to make a difference. I was well qualified and hoped to be able to help Michigan families of divorce and separation, but early on I realized that the system was not designed to be child friendly. No friendship nor honest conciliation were ever allowed in the family justice system between caseworkers and clients. It was all about money. how to get the federal and state tax dollars that were allotted each case for enforcement. In fact, our director would say regularly, we aren't the friend of the family, we're the friend of the court. We stumbled over ourselves trying to get more Title IV-D cases on our records and to increase the child support orders because the federal government granted huge allotments for each case we enforced. In the years I worked in the system, I witnessed regular deception to clients that was mandated by office policy. I saw gender bias and discrimination. I saw records destroyed. I saw office policies and rules change from week to week for the profit of the agency. I saw hundreds of pleas for parenting time or enforcement get buried because there is no money in enforcing custody or visitation issues. Increasing the child support money that came into our offices was the goal for each of us. We were rated according to how much money we brought in through asset seizures, income garnishment, court hearings, warrant issue. We wrote the orders and then we enforced them. The judge merely rubber stamped our efforts. My director proudly told me that the Child Support Enforcement Agency was the darling of the circuit court and that we actually made money for the judge and the court. Our county or state was not an exception to the rule. We were one of the most successful counties, and we shared training with other counties and states so they could learn how to maximize their efforts toward increased collection. We were not only told to withhold information, forms, policies, laws, and statutes from our clients with questions, but we were forbidden to help them obtain legal relief from unfair situations beyond their control. We were instructed to quickly help those who were demanding increases in child support, but we were threatened with losing our jobs if we should breathe a word to encourage an injured or unemployed payer to petition for a reduction of any kind. For the years that I worked in the system, I put my job on the line whenever I helped any of the parties in trouble. We were not to get personally involved. We worked closely with Child Protective Services and Family and Dependence Agencies, and they were the same way. No one wanted to improve services or hear about abuses within the system because every worker in these huge bureaucracies was trying to keep his or her job by covering up any errors or problems. I had 6 secretaries underneath me, unlimited power in my 401k and my office to lose if I should rock the boat. But rock the boat I did when I wrote the book Friend of the Court, Enemy of the Family. The determinations were made on the basis of the most child support that could be ordered for each case. Fathers or non-custodial parents were stereotyped as payers only. The court and most caseworkers felt that fathers were unnecessary and possibly dangerous for the children to have contact with. The child support system is an adversarial system. It encourages parental alienation and court battles. Children are pawns in an expensive and elaborate game of winner versus loser. Attorneys coming into the picture further divide the already fractured family and insulate the parents from communicating with each other. I heard many unwed fathers tell me that they begged the mothers of their children to marry them, but that the mothers were unwilling to give up the welfare check in exchange for a husband and father in the home. The most outdated picture of the father leaving the mom and kids to run off with his secretary is all but a thing of the past. In Southwest Michigan, 98% of the divorces are initiated by mothers and unwanted by the father. These aren't abusive fathers either.
Playing over and over again.
It's expensive raising his 2 daughters and a son from his wife's previous marriage. And Rodriguez has 1 more mouth to feed. This birth certificate says he's also the father of a 15-year-old daughter. He says he didn't even know about her until 3 years ago when he was notified a former girlfriend had filed for child support. What did you say?
Can't be.
Rodriguez owes $305 a month in child support. He's more than $10,000 behind in payments and even spent 1 night in jail because of it. There's just 1 thing. Rodriguez says he's not the daddy and has a 2003 DNA test to prove it.
And you read down here, and what does it say? It says Francisco D. Rodriguez is excluded as the biological father.
In fact, it says probability of parentage
0.0%.
Yet he's still ordered to pay child support. Rodriguez next got the girl's mother to sign this notarized affidavit in 2004. In it,
She writes, DNA tests say, quote, he's not the father, and asked to, quote, terminate child support. But even that didn't stop his court-ordered payments.
It's almost like you're drowning every day. You want to know when you're going to be able to go up and gas some air. And, you know, it's just that's the way we've been living these past 4 years.
Trying to get courts to listen can be a long, drawn-out affair. Every paycheck Rodriguez gets as a massage therapist is garnished by the state of Florida to make sure he pays.
Yeah, I grossed $273. They garnished $152.31 and left me with $99.80 to bring home.
What do you do with that?
I just grab what I can in the supermarket.
I still have to pay that.
Even so, after his most recent hearing, Rodriguez's frustration boils over.
So when you live check by check, it's hard. When you got to come up with money to avoid jail time, it's ridiculous.
A man by the name of Frank Hatley has been in jail in South Georgia for the past year because he hasn't been paying child support, right? Well, it turns out that the boy that he's not paying child support to isn't even his own biological son, and prosecutors knew that before throwing him in jail.
So when did his girlfriend get pregnant?
His girlfriend got pregnant in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He thought it was his son, so he was paying child support, everything, right? And then in the year 2000, they had a DNA test which indicated that the boy was not his. So what they ended up doing is they had him pay child support anyway. So he was still paying child support. At one point, he lost his job and he became homeless. And he couldn't even pay child support. Like, he couldn't even pay for a place to live or food to eat. But he still tried to make child support payments from his unemployment checks.
Now, that's after... he already found out it's not even his kid?
Yes, this is after he found out it's not his kid. How unbelievable is the story? They still made him pay this child support. And then finally, he just couldn't do it anymore. He had no money, he was out on the streets, and they're like, you know what, you're not paying, so we're going to throw you in jail. He's been in jail for the past year.
Past year.
Ma'am, you show me a rule.
Sir,
that shows
I'm not going
to
ask you.
You're not safe, but I have to.
Please. Because
please.
It's court ordered.
I'm getting screwed here. I'm not supposed to sit here and take it.
Sir, I'm going to ask you not to make any comments in the middle of my decision.
Listen to her.
You're not going to disrupt my decision.
Making this claim under 18-2.
An Atlanta jury has convicted confessed courthouse shooter Brian Nichols, who claimed he was legally insane when he killed a judge and three other people in a 2005 shooting rampage in a downtown Atlanta courthouse in March of 2005 when he beat the deputy guarding him, stole her gun, and began shooting. He was arrested a day later after taking a woman hostage. Nichols had admitted to the killings, claimed he was legally insane, and believed he was a slave rebelling against authority. The murder conviction brings the possibility of the death penalty. Diane Kepley, The Associated Press.
Okay, Mose, we back. We're going on to the next step. Anybody got any questions or comments? Go ahead, raise your hand. And as you can see, this thing here is getting pretty rough when you take a man and force him into a box and just F over him all kind of conceivable ways. And he just gets to the point where he just start killing people because it's kind of rough, you know. I think, in my personal opinion, I think that people are getting fed up to the point where they just losing it. I mean, you know, I don't know what to say about it. It's just, man, this is rough. I've seen it before. I've even seen it where one man killed at least 9 police officers with a fully automatic weapon right at the courthouse steps, just shoot through the door, dropping them like flies because they were trying to force him against his will. And that's kind of rough. And we got a lot of stuff that's going on inside the United States, and people are not, it's not going for it. I mean, it's just, they're fighting. You know,
hey, what's cracking, you too? It's your boy, Jason Yamamoto, and today we're talking that ish. Today's topic is about this deadbeat dad, all right? Deadbeat dad. I mean, when you think about a dad, right? I don't even think he deserved that title, dad. Because this motherfucker, right? He's one of those motherfuckers, yeah, that avoid.
Okay. We don't want to hear nothing you got to say about nothing. I think that every man should take care of his children. If you got children, you should take care of your children. But I also think that nobody should enter into any third-party contracts. I think every man and woman should be man enough and woman enough to, if there's any contracts that need to go on, you should be able to do them between each other. And that keeps anybody from coming in and saying, well, we got a right to enforce anything. But I also think that all brothers and sisters across the United States should do the following. I think that you should start mastering skills. I think that you should learn how to fish, hunt, and trap. I think that you should, if you have weapons, I think you should master these weapons. I think these weapons should be modified. I don't think you should disturb nature. So therefore, if you have a 30-06, I think it should have a silencer on it, and I think you need night vision equipment so when you're hunting deer at night, you're able to quietly take the deer and you're able to feed your family. I think you should have expert tracking skills. That's very important for you to have. You should be able to exist out in the woods and live in the woods for years if you have to with the proper skills. Having the proper skills immediately removes all fear from you. You have no fear because you are very, very skillful and highly trained, and you know how to take care of yourself. You know how to take care of your family, and you know how to provide for your family in the event that there is a problem inside the United States. I think this is very, very vital for us to learn how to do and make sure that we have these things going. So in the event that something does go wrong, you are highly trained and you're highly skilled and you know what to do when it comes to providing food for your family. Now, let's take a look at contract law.
You know, the second case, you know, I'm in the thing and I'm getting ready to come up to it, and so I have a call down to go see the attorney, or a legal visit, and I go see this attorney, and they have this really good-looking gal, about 5'10", blonde, attorney, sharp. She says, "I've been appointed your attorney." And that's why they sent a good-looking gal, you know, to, you know, might be less argument. Yeah,
right.
Right. Yeah, not a chance.
Yeah,
not happening.
Come on.
So,
is this the end of your 4 months now? Is this what you're
doing? Yeah, coming up to the end of the 4 months, and they're going to bring up the second supervised revocation case. First one's settled. All I get was a contempt charge, but it's settled. So she says, I've been appointed your attorney. I said, well, I conditionally accept. You accept private compensation. She says, I can't do that. We have a hearing on Wednesday and blah, blah, blah. I says, what's we? And we have this like 45-minute conversation. She's so good. No matter what I say, she just gloss over it with a confession and avoidance and on to the next thing, you know. And I was back and forth, and she and I was having fun because I wasn't nervous anymore, and I had a down pat with, you know, offer and acceptance and how to manipulate her and all this. I said, well, you're just an attorney, right? She said, yeah. I said, can you do anything but argue? Well, no.
But what does that mean exactly? So an attorney can't do a conditional or...
The rules of court? No, they can't do conditional acceptances.
And they can't do other things?
There's a lot of things they can't do. They're bound by the rules. Like, you submit, you're the attorney, and you file the complaint. I get the complaint, I conditionally accept it, give it back to you in the court, right? You can't put in another answer tonight. Next hearing we're going to have is based on whether to see whether I can hold my mud on my counteroffer.
I can throw out new offers and see if you bite on them.
In verbal when we're there.
Oh, but not in writing.
But you can't respond to mine in writing. That's unacceptable in court. I can respond to every writing you do. They have rules they're bound by. They're there to get you your remedy. Believe it or not. You just got to know the rules.
They can't respond in writing to...
Some stuff they can, but not the way we do.
But they can send out endless new offers in writing.
Yes, they can.
At some point, does that become frivolous? That, like, if I don't like somebody and I'm a lawyer, can I just send them a offer that they're a criminal every week? Does that start to become harassment or something?
Well, it'll be just like Juanita and I just did on one of her things. If you want to continue to collect on a debt that's already been paid, blah, 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 then that may be construed as fraud and may incur a $100,000 penalty. Try to be real nice about it. First time, next time you send me another one of these, I'm going to send you back. Next one you send, I'm going to consider your behavior fraud, and I'm going to notice them that you've been harassing me, since harassment, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to see how they like a little proactive, and they're not going to like it. So what do you think the CFO and the president of that company is going to do with those offers? He's got to go give it to an attorney to handle, to operate. He's got 10 days. He ain't going to like it at all, any more than Walmart likes. But see, I don't want to use this stuff in a negative fashion. I want to be honorable. They're only doing their job. They're attempting to keep riffraff out. She's gotten her second notice. She did get a phone call, but that technically doesn't count. But we responded to it. She's gotten one written notice, a phone call, and then a second written notice. So out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, I'll see what they do with this other one that's just a teens firmer. Like to see if we can't be a little gentle with the situation first. If Chase continues with it. Now, you know, the docs up in Wisconsin, which are different than the docs in Cincinnati, they have one of their banks, he called me and said, Gordon, these guys are sending me notices 2-3 of them a day. And they did for like a week. They sent notices 2-3 a day. Kind of like what you're talking about. He said, what'll I do? I said, just bundle them all up and put them in one thing and send them all back. All right? Because they're being silly, and all they're doing is just trying to frustrate me. I said, if it continues on, we'll take other action. But, you know, let's, in the meantime, let's go ahead and answer them. And if it goes past this, we just bundle them all up. And that's what I said before. I said, just bundle them the next day, and you bundle them up. And send a certified mail for each and every one.
So you bundle them all up, and then you have to point by point.
No, I just put it in and say something else. I forgot what I said, but I had to come up with something that causes them to think twice about continuing on that capacity. Remembering that, you know, they're not going to like it if you go on the proactive side of it. Because the last thing you want me to do is start sending a bunch of, you've done this, you owe this, and start sending it to all sorts of employees, start leaning employees up, and bank, you know, store managers and district managers and all that. I kept the Walmart to the president and the store manager only, just kind of sort of little personal stuff. And that's why I tried to get the guy in California for the DEA to do the guys personally.
Right.
He's afraid they come. I said, nah, they respect this stuff. If they're as I say it is, he said, I talked to him at lunch break. I said, how you doing, Jeff? He says, I'm trying. He says, I think I'll be ready Monday, but right now I'm just trying to get used to it. Hey, it's at your leisure. I don't pressure them either way because they might come and put pressure on him. And I don't want him to feel. He has to make the decision for himself. Because without the faith on himself, he might suffer the consequences. I said, what do you think if you go after the warden? That's not a real bright thing to do if they're not going to obey the law. I mean, they got guards. They could stick on you, a bunch of redneck guards. Make your life miserable, throw all your stuff away. They do that all the time. I don't think they do it to my stuff.
Okay, we're back, Mose. Eric Ode, 111. Eric Ode, 111, are you there? He is not. Okay. Now, what we're dealing with here, once again, Mose, is we're dealing with people who are involving themselves voluntarily in a contract situation because of what they don't know. So what I would like for you to recommend to you is for you to go to newfreehelpgroup.com. And that way you're able to get in position so you can know something. And you have to learn how to create your own contract so you can enforce your own contracts. And you can take a look at what contracts have been used against you that you are involved in that you don't even realize was a contract. When it comes to the child support situation, it's all bound and surrounded by contracts. These people are living lavish lives of your sweat and because they got this little system set up where they are using these contracts to lead you to believe that you have actually done something wrong and you have broken the law and all of this stuff. And but what it amounts to, you have to understand that they could care less about your children. They don't give up about your children. They only care about their money. And what they're doing is the system is set up to first trick the mother, corral her into persecuting her husband, and it all boils down to keeping you separated because you are in this system of contracts. So when you learn the background and the fabric and the rules and regulations of the game and how this thing put together, then you're able to do some things. You don't have to get excited. You don't have to follow a judge home and blow his brains out. You don't have to do that. You can do other things. you see. And so once you learn these techniques and stuff, then you can feel better when it comes to child support, student loan, and all these other things. I mean, I'm constantly putting information up for you to analyze and study and put the pieces together, because everything that I put up there is a vital piece of information that you can use to survive and take care of yourself inside a corrupt system. The people that are in charge, you got the United States of America Corporation. It's a corporation. That's what it is. Now, let's just take that alone and just look at that alone. And we look at that from every conceivable angle. That alone should tell you something. But you're going to have to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Supreme Court has ruled on a whole lot of things. And you can do a lot of things once you learn the rules of the game. An affidavit is a very, very powerful thing. So is a high-powered rifle. So are guns. So are explosives. All these things are very, very powerful, can do a lot of damage. But you want to look at what we got going here now. We got a system that is, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, is corrupt. And they are robbing people, and it is a national conspiracy going on. And this conspiracy is directed toward the masses of people. You see, we don't have corporations unless these people have agreed to be the corporation. If you, through not doing anything about it, you agree. If you haven't challenged it, try to change it, you agree. Now, that's the rule of the game, okay, because, and that makes sense. I mean, If a man stands up and accuses you of doing something that you didn't do, and you sit there and don't say nothing, well, what he's saying is right, according to everybody else, because they look at you like, well, you know, he must be guilty. He didn't say nothing. He didn't try to change it. He didn't challenge it. He didn't, you know. So the system is set up that way. We got people who are unwilling to do any physical labor, who live off of people who do physical labor. It's just that simple. These people don't do anything. They sit there and they deal with paper and pencil. They have other people who can deal with the paperwork for them. But they're being held in honor and living lavish lifestyles and traveling across the United States as if they were man enough to do what a man does. Now, back in the day, my great great grandfather, you either had to be a man or you wasn't. If you wasn't no man and you came to see his daughter, he gonna shoot you. Period. He come out of the house and meet you. The only thing he want to do is shake your hand. If you don't have calluses in your hand, I'm going to get my shotgun and I'm going to shoot you. Because you ain't no man. You don't do nothing. That was his understanding. And then my grandfather, he come along, he same kind of man. You're a man or you ain't no man. One or two, but we have a system of males from one end of America masquerading as men and got all kind of weapons. They got soldiers. They got dynamite. They got everything because they're scared and they're weak and they're fearful. But what gets me, and something I can't understand, is they go home at the end of the day of robbing people and convince their children that they're real men. I can't understand that. That's unbelievable, but yet they are convinced that they do that. They're convinced that they are. Amazing. We had an incident here in Jacksonville, Florida, where they had a football game, and at the end of the game, the team from our area lost the game, and the brothers and sisters, they were walking home, and we had these two Caucasian boys riding down the road. They started hollering, they're passing them in a car, "Nigga!" And then they go all the way down the street, go all the way around the block, and come back again. "Nigga!" They flying 60 miles an hour. They come back, stand out. But when they got down to the almost in the middle of the street, the car ran out of gas. All the brothers ran down there. They got out of the car. They're trying to crank it up. They're trying to raise the hood, trying to get it started, trying to hurry up and get out of there. But now you're faced with reality. Here's an opportunity for you to be a man. Right here, point blank range. Needless to say, they had every ambulance in the city on the scene. You had people coming from all corners of the area pulling them off of them. They said, "If you keep on, you're going to kill them." They said, we're trying to kill them. That's what we're trying to do. But it was an opportunity for them to face the men. It was an opportunity for them to face the men. And they didn't quite face it right. But anyway, they were able to take them out. And they got them in the hospital. We don't know whether they were living or dead. But from what I've seen, I think they were killed. I think they were beaten to death. But this situation here with this child support, based on what I've been seeing and stuff, you know, is quite extraordinary how you have a system of people that literally live off the blood, suck the blood of people who are out here in the world. And I'm not saying that there are men who don't take care of their children and who don't want to do nothing, but I think something different needs to be done. And I think it's vital for us to do this, because this thing here, this is getting out of control. When you got people coming inside courtrooms, fighting and killing people, because these people know that they are being treated unfairly. And they are angry and they are hostile. And they have every right to be. And you got this system going on all over the United States. Man, you know, what is it going to take for me, the way I see it? What is it going to take? And I have to stay in the incubator, because I'm a different breed of animal. I don't do no whole drawn-out system about nothing. I just want to know what you did and where you at. That's all. I can't help myself, so I don't need to be out there. You can't. I can't help myself. Maybe I need to come up with another program or something, but I've been that way all my life. I can't help myself. I mean, you don't have to explain. You don't have to come to me telling me nothing about, "Well, we're going to do an investigation." You ain't gonna have time. y'all gotta excuse your brother. I have been in all kind of situations and dealing with stuff, and I had to. And my brothers come to me, and my brothers say, "We heard about what happened up here and what you done of him, man. You and your 40s, man. You can't keep doing this right here, man. You are all out in the middle of the business streets in the city, whooping men and beating them down to the ground and stuff, man. You can't keep doing that. You're getting too old for that.
You got to stop fighting, man. I said, well, I didn't do nothing. They said, we understand. We know you don't bother nobody. We know that. I ain't never seen a man beat you. Never in my life. And I'm almost 50 years old. I ain't never seen it in my life, bro. But you got to stop fighting. I said, okay, I'm finna stop fighting today. No, I know you. Stop fighting tomorrow, too. And they had me cornered off. And before they let me out of there, I had to agree with them by not doing that. So what I did was, I stopped fighting. Sure did. I put my fist up. They don't beat the police on no more. I said, oh, I'm going to learn how to fight with paper. And a pencil. So I'm good at it. And once again, undefeated. So there are alternatives to what you could do. And it all involves learning how to do things different. You cannot deal with this particular type of system without having the knowledge of the rules of the game. You're going to have to learn the rules of the game. You're going to have to do that. And once you learn the rules of the game, you play the game. Oh, man. Whoo, Lord. I'm going to have to get on here one day, and I'll do a show, and I'll tell y'all about some of these stories when we was growing up, because this is one of the most colorful situations that you ever seen with people. And dealing with people and how I had to deal with people and stuff, because, you know, I know for a fact, I know a lot of people can attest to it. People will do things to you that you don't want to do. People will force you to do things that you don't want to do. Because I feel like every man wants the sunshine and the rain in their due season. And I think every man wants peace in the valley. I don't know no man who lives for war unless he's some crazy soldier over somewhere looking forward to kill somebody or something like that. I don't live like that. That to me, that's not living. That is not living to me. You know, I think that family is important. Family is, you know, you got your family. You and your wife, y'all can sit down, y'all can talk, and your girlfriend or what have you. If you want to get out and go out and have a nice evening, y'all enjoying yourself, I think that's the way life ought to be. But over here in America, every time I look around, there's something that comes along that disturbs the happiness, disturbs the peace. Then you got to go out and do something you don't want to do. It's terrible. I've had some situations. I've even had a man. I'm laying up in my bed, just laying there, just sitting there thinking, because I don't have no channels on my TV and stuff. I don't do all that. But then I hear the gate open. And I look out the window, I don't see nobody. And but then I hear these noises out there like somebody in my yard. And so I get up. When I go out in the yard, there's a man in my yard. He got a bicycle parked outside my gate. He's got this tank, and he's spraying my grass. I said, brother, what you doing? He said, I'm spraying your yard for answers. I said, you spraying my yard for answers? Now, when he said that, I didn't say nothing because I had a lot of answers in the grass. But he say, I spray yards for people all over and everywhere, this, that, and the other. And I said, well, okay. He said, I don't charge but $20 for doing it. I said, well, brother, I didn't ask you to spray my yard. He said, well, don't worry. I'm going to get rid of all the ants. He said, I'm going to spray the whole yard and stuff. I said, all right. I said, go ahead, old man, spray the yard. And I'll be right back. I shut up the house, went up to the store, got me some money, came back. And when I came back, he was sitting on the step. He was through spraying the yard. So I thought. And I gave him $20 for spraying the yard. And but I noticed after he sprayed the yard and he was gone, I had triple more answers. I said, well, I need to see you one more time. I ain't seen him no more. And that's been 4 years ago. But my point is, I was just laying in the bed, minding my own business. And out of the clear blue sky, here comes somebody that just took it upon themselves to start spraying my yard. And then you're going to tell me how much you're going to charge me after you get it through. Oh, Lord. So, brothers, don't get upset, because, see, sometimes at the clear blue sky, when you relax, you're trying to have a good time, you got good thoughts in your mind, you enjoying life, you temperature just right, the sun shining just right, ain't no drama, you at peace, and it's just a wonderful day. But then all of a sudden, out the clear blue sky, here comes some stuff. So before you just get angry, because I know it gets you upset when you're trying to relax and enjoy life and have peace. Because one thing I know about my brothers want peace. Brothers like peace. Most of us like peace. You got some of us who can't spell peace. But nevertheless, that's the way it is. But anyway, we're going to be coming back for another broadcast. So I appreciate you all listening in to what I had to say. And we're going to be doing some more things. We dealt with the child support thing. We're going to deal with these hospitals. We're going to deal with these mortgage situations. We're going to deal with these contracts. We're going to deal with all of it and bring this stuff out to the forefront and look at it from every conceivable angle in the future. So y'all be staying tuned for Moist Talk Live 100.
Your feet. still doing beats.